As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
The construction of the dream. PA and charge.
The game is over.
9 to noon.
Time for two more.
Not much else to say.
Oh my God!
Hold on to your butt.
No way!
Good morning, and welcome to the Friday Football Feast from the Bryant Heating and Cooling Studios. This is PA in Charge.
Football Feast.
PA in Charge.
It's a Friday, and it's beautiful. Good morning.
I'm thinking of those days gone by now. So music in the air.
PA in Charge.
Life was good then, it had me.
Football Feast.
Good morning, Charchi.
Good morning, Paul.
Now with confirmation from the Minnesota Vikings, after speculation was running rampant last evening, the Minnesota Vikings have a new offensive coordinator. His name is John DeFilippo. He's 39 years of age and most recently was quarterback's coach for the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Speaking of Philadelphia, let's go to the fighting city of Philadelphia and be joined by a longstanding member of the Love Covenant,
Adam Kaplan.
He's Philly-based. He breaks stories, follows the NFL very closely, expert tweeter, very controversial, at Kaplan NFL via Twitter, and the man they call Cap, who knows John DeFilippo extremely well, joins us now. Adam, welcome to the Friday Football Feast. What's up?
Guys, good to talk to you. Yeah. By the way, you said controversial. What if I said that's controversial?
Well, you're controversial. You're scintillating. You're titillating. Yeah. You're like wildfire on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, who knows? But,
well, who doesn't want to be controversial, right?
Sure.
Wants to be mundane and boring. Gang. Nobody.
Gang.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My understanding is that based on, you've been following the career. John's career for years. I have like 3-year-old tweets you've got about him. So apparently you guys are pretty close. What can you tell Viking fans about John DeFilippo?
I met this coach like 3 years ago, and I've just followed his career. I mean, I wouldn't call us close. I know about 30 to 40 coaches, so he's just one of the guys that I've dealt with in my career. So I've just gathered information on him. And he's 39 years old. He's a guy that went to high school in Philly. His dad, Gene, Dr. Gene, was a former athletic director of Villanova and Boston College. So he's got coaching in his genes. So you like that. He's a guy that called plays for the Browns in 2015. Did a good job managing Johnny Manziel the best he could. And he's a guy who's pursued, as you know, for 2 head coaching jobs. So the fact that a quarterback coach got interviews off of that for head coaching jobs tells you he's probably a pretty good coach. And talking to guys who've worked with him, he's pretty innovative. He's a forward thinker. That's what these general managers want and head coaches want. They want coaches who think outside the box. That, from talking to people who've worked with him, that's kind of the way he thinks.
According to well-respected National Football League reporters like you, the Minnesota Vikings interviewed the likes of current quarterbacks coach Kevin Stefanski, former offensive coordinator for the Vikings and Seahawks, Darrell Bevell, Sean Ryan, Dan Campbell, now John DeFilippo. Your learned opinion is needed. Why do you think, out of that handful of names, they settled on John DeFilippo?
Paul, I think it's based on his pedigree and what they think he's going to do for them and the use of personnel. I think if you look at the way that the Eagles think and Doug Peterson, the head coach, runs his offense, they don't go by traditional means of trying to get balance every game. They'll get it by the end of the game because they're going to get up, but they're forward thinkers. DeFilippo, as I understand it, was the guy who put together the red zone package, and the Eagles, ironically, had the best red zone package of the league. They were number one in red zone. And the fact that he coached the quarterbacks the way that he did Carson Wentz. He developed Nate Sudfeld off their practice squad to be their number two quarterback. And then obviously you saw what Nick Foles did. And by the way, Nick Foles was pursued a little bit by the Vikings a couple years ago. So what I know is people that I trust tell me how good of a coach this guy is, and he's going to have his second chance in his career to call plays.
Do you think there's already steam building here in the Twin Cities, Adam, that maybe the Vikings end up making a play for Nick Foles? And then now the Eagles have got the luxury of potentially getting, you know, who knows, maybe another first-round pick for a quarterback from the Vikings. Do you think the Eagles end up flipping Nick Foles coming out of this?
Well, I would say this. If someone wants to give a first-round pick for Nick Foles, I don't think Nick Foles will be an Eagle.
For long, right.
Yeah,
yes.
I'd be flabbergasted. I mean, I don't care where the pick is in the round. Obviously, if it's you're talking about the Vikings, it would be a late first-round pick. But the thing where the Eagles are with Nick Foles is now they know what he's capable of doing. He's not going to be available for their entire offseason program, which means they only have two quarterbacks available. We're talking about Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is coming back from his ACL injury. Wentz won't be available. Foles and Nate Sudfeld, the only other two quarterbacks on the roster. Nate Sudfeld, Paul, has only played three quarters of one game in his career. So they don't want to trade Nick Foles, but if someone would bowl him over, certainly, they'll listen to it.
Not happening. Adam.
I agree with you, totally.
What type of offense do you think DeFilippo will bring here?
Well, his roots are in the West Coast offense, but he is the tight end. If you remember Gary Barnage, the former Browns tight end who had a career year under DeFilippo, just look at the numbers that the Browns put up. The running backs, Duke Johnson in his first year had over 60 receptions. So for Charch and UPA for fantasy, this is going to be a fantasy-friendly offense, I think. I think it's going to be West Coast-based. I think you're going to see multi-formational. I think that's kind of what his background is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to do real well with use of personnel. I think whatever they've got. Now, the issue would be, could it be so good that could a guy like Treadwell actually get on the field? That to me is a major question mark.
He's not a miracle worker.
Right, right. But I think Kyle Rudolph and whatever tight end they sign or draft, because they need athleticism at tight end. I think if they're being honest with you, they would tell you that. Kyle Rudolph is a... We know he's a good football player, but he's not a great athlete. I think they need a little bit more athleticism at tight end.
Do you think that given what DeFilippo has been able to do with taking a raw Carson Wentz and get good play out of him at an accelerated rate, get Nick Foles, who looked like a journeyman washout, and turn him into a Super Bowl winner, do you think that means that the Vikings have less of a need to go spend big on a Kirk Cousins? And more like, you know what, let's maybe just give Case Keenum another, let's work with Case Keenum, and let's let DeFilippo work with Case as a middle-tier guy and see if you can't get greatness out of him.
Okay, so let me address this question, because I know there's some the rumors out there about Kirk Cousins and potentially the Vikings signing him. If you really study the Vikings roster, 12 of their 22 starters they drafted. The other 10, only one of the other 10 starters was a big prize free agent. That was Linval Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only guy that they really paid in free agency. I'm talking big money. Mike Remmers doesn't count. Mike Remmers got $10.5 million fully guaranteed at signing. But that's not a big deal. The Linval Joseph deal was pretty big. That's
what about Riley Reiff?
Reiff was a pretty big deal.
You know, Riley Reiff, here's the thing about Riley Reiff. Riley Reiff is a good football player. He's a little bit better than I think people expected. On offense, that would be the only guy they paid, and you could say Joseph was seen as a major, major deal.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's it. I mean, that's it. Really, they've signed other guys who are free agents, but Case Keenum would be one of them. But that's not really who else they paid.
But well, couldn't we flip that the other way, Adam, and say because they haven't had these blockbuster bank breaking free agent deals, they could afford one now.
They could, because they're really in great cap shape.
They are.
But this has not been Rick Spielman's MO lately. But I'm not saying that they won't do it. I think there's definitely some juice to this talk, but I don't know if they're willing to spend between $25 and $30 million each season, which is what the money could cost. Based on what we just saw with Jimmy Garoppolo and that reported deal at $27.5 million a year, which is a little bit more than I expected him to get. Remember, Garoppolo was not a true free agent. Kirk Cousins is. He can get whatever he wants.
With the DeFilippo hiring as offensive coordinator for the Vikings, do you think it's fair to elevate the Sam Bradford portion of the equation for the Vikings? I mean, the man they call Flip worked with him for a year. From what I hear, he's infatuated with his arm talent and his accuracy. Of course, you have concerns with the bulky knee, but do you think Vikings fans should elevate the chances of Bradford becoming the starting quarterback here next year?
No, I don't think he would be. I think if he came back, it would be a one-year prove-it deal. The Vikings, and rightfully so, believe that they're a Super Bowl-bound team, or at least built to be a Super Bowl team. How in the world could you depend on Sam Bradford to be your starter? I don't see it any way, shape, or form that
What if you have a good backup?
Well, he is a good backup. I would bring him back as a backup. I would not bring him back as a starter. I mean, I would give him a deal where it's tiered. If he's starting or based on play time, like you could give him a playing time, 90% play time, where he can make an extra $7 or $8 million. I mean, I would do that, but I'm not giving him any good money because he's not going to be. You don't go in thinking, guys, that he's going to be a starter. No way, no how.
No, and I think that's fair to say. But there are some people, including me, that still would like to see Sam come back in some capacity. But Sam's going to probably test free agency and see what's out there. Do you think there will be much interest in Sam as a starter? I mean, he's made a ton of money already, right, throughout his career. Probably made $100 million already throughout his career, right? So how much interest is there in Sam as a backup, and how much interest does Sam have? How much interest is there for Sam to be a starter out there with NFL teams? And will he settle for a backup contract or not?
I don't see it. I don't see any. I mean, I see interest, yes, Charge, but I don't see starting quality contract out there. I'd be stunned.
I don't either. So does he settle? Then does he settle for a backup contract?
Well, settle again. I think it's a per game roster bonuses. I think it's a play time. I think it's a tier deal where if he wins again, he could get paid. But I don't see it. And then of course, then after that, you've got Teddy Bridgewater and Case Keenum. And I'll tell you what, Kyle Sloter. This is a guy to keep an eye. I'm not saying he's going to compete for a starting job, but talking to two people that I respect who have done tape study on this kid, he's someone worth developing. This kid's kind of interesting as a back. I'm talking about as a backup down the line.
Yeah. So with back to Laquon Treadwell for a second. First-round pick, Nelson Agholor, first-round pick. Nelson Agholor off to a terrible start in his career. Blew up this year. Treadwell off to a terrible start in his career. And I know DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach for the Eagles, but he worked with an offense where Agholor became not only a key factor in the Super Bowl, but all season and specifically the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think with DeFilippo, maybe a pulse can be found with Laquon Treadwell?
Well, let's call it like it is. Nelson Agholor became a good football player for two reasons. He was moved to the slot where he could run after the catch. And Mike Rowe, the receiver's coach, DeFilippo had nothing to do with it. It was Mike Rowe, the receiver's coach, who did a phenomenal job, who told people when he took the job with the Eagles, his first thing was to get Nelson Aguilar's head back in the game. You remember, Nelson Agholor was bent for his own good. He had an off-the-field issue which dominated his life, which was cleared up. But mentally, he wasn't right in 16. But DeFilippo is going to be challenged here with taking this offense to the next level. I mean what you're looking for is a creative play caller, and from talking to people who work with him, that's what I hear, is he's pretty creative.
So you believe, in closing, the Minnesota Vikings did very well by hiring John DeFilippo?
Yeah, I do. Again, it's strictly based on people who've worked with him, and the talk around the league is they think he's a forward thinker. Now, the good thing is you've got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Kyle Rudolph is a good tight end. And Latavius Murray, who, by the way, worked with DeFilippo in Oakland, so he knows the player. So there's a good base to work with and an improved offensive line from last season.
Thank you, Adam. Have a great day.
Guys, thank you.
NFL reporter, extremely well-respected, Adam Kaplan, at Kaplan NFL, starts 9 to noon, chatting about John DeFilippo, the newest offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, supplanting Pat Shurmur, who became head coach of the New York Football Giants a couple of weeks ago. This is 9 to noon. It's PA in charge. When we return, more on the maneuverings of the Minnesota Vikings with the offensive coordinator and our opinions as to how it ties into the 2018 quarterback. Nordo produces from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios. Good morning. You're listening to The Fan.
9 to noon.
It's PA in charge on The Fan.
Programming on The Fan brought to you in part by Cars for Kids. And check this out. You can enter to win a pair of tickets to see Marvel's Black Panther. next weekend, February 16th through the 18th, at the Minnesota Zoo. More info, just go to KFAN.com, keyword contests.
PA and Charge. Any clarity as to exactly what happened to your diseased eye?
Yes. Burst a blood vessel. Usually.
But how?
The burst blood vessel is from a sneeze or a cough.
Right.
Now, at that time, rewinding 1 week ago.
Yeah.
It's a high impact, high stress thing. Now, I may have brought it on myself because, as you may or may not have noticed over the years of working with me.
Okay.
I am a sneeze stifler. When I sneeze, I do not believe in the spray. In fact, let me...
Well, that's why you have hands.
I'm going to give you the long version of this.
But that's why God gave you hands to put it up, to cover your mouth.
And sleeves.
Something like 10 years ago at the KFAN booth.
You know, like Sammy Sleeves, the 2018 Vikings quarterback. But anyway.
At the KFAN booth.
Yeah.
10 years ago. It's just before we're going on the air for Fantasy Football Weekly on a Saturday morning. It's approximately 9:50 in the morning.
Jeez.
And the sun is coming up over the horizon line. And right between the sun and me is there's some guy. And he has this sneeze. The sun's hitting it just right. And you can see the full power of the sneeze, Paul. He blew snot mucus stuff in what had to be a 20-foot arc. And from that point forward, I'm like, I am never going to be that guy.
Did you tell him, sir, if you can do that 5 days a week, you'll never work again? I always
love
that one.
And so when I have a sneeze coming, I close my mouth and I plug my nose and I stifle it. I go,
yeah.
You know, one of these deals, right?
Isn't it unhealthy not to let it go?
Yeah. I don't care. What could be more unhealthy than me spraying my snot out of my body, like most people do.
Right.
That's deeply disrespectful to everybody around me.
How do you handle flatulence?
Same deal. I cork.
Oh God!
Just
and it comes out your
up.
Ears.
There you go.
It's probably had a couple of bloody eyes because of that too.
I don't remember at any point doing the stifle.
Correct.
But I'm guessing that I stifled a sneeze, popped the blood vessel in my eye. Now, that first day, it was brutal. That whole side of my eye.
It was awful.
Was red and disgusting.
Yeah, we had to look at it. You didn't.
You looked like a walker.
I did. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, I've got a Super Bowl party with 40, 50 people coming up.
Of course
and
you do.
Nobody can look me in the eye.
Right.
But fortunately...
So they can look you in the eye, but only one eye.
That's right. Fortunately, cleared up within a couple of days. It was pretty much what it is now.
Oh, it's still there.
It's still. I have a little bit of red around edges, but
yeah,
no, it's nothing like it was.
Well, it's Radio Row 9 to Noon, high stress and anxiety. So
well,
it's happened again.
Oh, I hope not. I do. I am sick. I've battled the illness ever since then, though.
We understand
because
that.
I got the Radio Row flu.
Now let's get that out of the way so we can focus.
All
okay.
Right. Fine.
For the last 3 days, we've been dealing with emails and or texts from you. Like it's the National Football League Wednesday injury report,
That's
and
true.
You started out doubtful, and then you went to questionable,
right.
And then you went to probable,
right.
And this morning, before the radio show-related walkthrough, you sent us a text saying 90% I'm on my way. Now, when it comes to the preparation for the Friday Football Feast and or 9 to noon, you put the producer and yours truly in a quagmire by being doubtful, questionable, probable, then in.
Correct.
So physically, we're happy you're here.
Thank you.
We're ready to learn more about John DeFilippo and talk about the 2018 Minnesota Vikings quarterback named Sam Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
But physically speaking, how are you right now?
I'm 60-70%.
You said 90 this morning,
no,
you biatch.
No, 90% that I'd be here.
Oh.
But,
You're a fraud, and you're talking out of both sides of your puffy mouth. You know why? Because you just ripped the Rube from Brooklyn Park or Fridley at the state fair for
letting fly.
Right, and you came in sick.
I did come in sick.
And you're talking into a microphone into which somebody may talk and become ill.
Well,
it
doesn't have the spongy thing on it, which would capture all of the saliva and various, things that are coming out, germs coming out of my mouth. It doesn't have the sponge on it. You'll notice that.
You couldn't
pick
up your own SARS mask?
No. And now, I think we have at least one host who replaces the sponge, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think we've got at least one host, I won't out him, who does the sponge replacement because he doesn't want to have to deal with all of the germs caught in
Same.
These sponges. I mean, when were the last time these sponges were washed?
Same.
Answer? Literally never.
when did the station first come to St. Louis Park?
Yeah. Exactly. So it is,
I think Marconi hand washed them, then hung them out with sheets.
Yes. Now, Twitter guy Dan says he was a sneeze stifler, but then he gave himself a hernia 10 years ago.
Yeah, then an eyeball
surgery.
Pop. Oh, my God. Stop stifling your sneezes.
I'm going to listen, you don't want me spraying.
Put your hand in front of your mouth
or your sleeve, as in
Sammy Sleeves, the 2018 Vikings quarterback.
What do I do with my hand now that my hand's covered in snot?
You do what the rest of us do. You wipe it on your pants.
You find a tissue.
That's your answer.
And then you go wash your hands.
You blow it into your sleeve and then pretend it's not there.
Right.
I think this is a no-win situation.
Or you do what Meat Sauce does and wipe it under the chair.
Oh, God, don't even say that, because I'm sitting in Meat Sauce's chair right now.
Talking into a mic where he recently had the flu.
Yes.
Oh, good God.
John DeFilippo, new offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. 39 years of age, quarterback's coach for the Super Bowl champion Eagles. Will be a head coach one day, according to people with whom I chatted last night. Interviewed a couple of times for head coaching jobs into the 2017. Took two L's, but seems to be the type of individual who is on the fast track to head coaching.
Ooh, do you think he's a 1 year hire for the Vikings?
What do I look like, Mark Wilf?
Was a 2 year deal, right?
What do I look like, Ziggy Wilf? Let me continue with the bio, then we can analyze.
Thank you.
We have 7 segments and 2 minutes left. Plenty of time for analysis. And I've been waiting all morning to get your opinion on the impact of Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye being traded to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Happy to break that down for you.
And that massive NBA trading deadline day will make it into 9 to noon later. As will the Minnesota Wild blowing a 3-0 lead against the worst team in the National Hockey League last night on a day Vox in the Box brought its 7-1 record to the X.
It's embarrassing.
Looking to cherry pick an 8-1, and we're up 3-0 and they lost. That comes up later too. John DeFilippo, quarterback's coach in the NFL for the Jets, Raiders, and Eagles, worked with current Vikings offensive line coach Tony Sparano in Oakland when Sparano was the interim coach for like 12 games. Some of the questions that will emerge: what kind of offense will he run? Which quarterback does he like most and why? Can he share secrets as to how he and his staff dismantled our defense in the NFC title game? And what does it mean for the rest of the staff? PA and Charge are feasting. We hit all those topics next.
PA and Charge. It's a Friday football feast, 9 to noon on The Fan.
Make a Valentine's Day move at Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park. Second to none jewelry, second to none savings, and the customer service, absolutely the best. Online, it's ContinentalDiamond.com. Buy jewelry this Valentine's Day at Continental Diamond.
PA in Charge.
When you're hot, you're hot.
Fire away.
I don't know.
That's a fact.
I've never met John DeFilippo, but I do in knowing how the National Football League works. It's not like if somebody is with somebody, they are so married to them that they have to have them. But I do not want it shortchanged until somebody of authority or whose opinion within the Purple and Gold Covenant matters shoots it down. I do not want it. I do not believe it should be shortchanged that Bradford worked a full year with John DeFilippo.
Sure.
Now, so we have the balky knee. We have the weird freakish injury in the New Orleans game that cost him a season.
We don't even know that the injury was in the game.
Correct. Yeah.
We know nothing about this.
Fair
assumption. He didn't take a hit all game.
Fair assumption. We also know with a month to go in the season, Bradford recovered so well that he usurped Bridgewater for the backup spot into the postseason.
I can't get past that little data point, Paul. That tells me so much, right? With all the chips on the line, the season mattered for the Vikings. Mm-hmm. When they couldn't afford any flim-flam in this, they made Sam Bradford their number two, and they deactivated Teddy in the NFC Championship game.
Fair part of the narrative.
Look, I mean, it's such a strong, compelling data point, Paul, that it really does. That alone shifts some of my thinking on what the Vikings are going to do going forward. Now, what I hear you saying today that I did not hear 1 week ago is that you seem to have a lot more confidence that Sam could be in play for 2018 than I've heard you say in the past.
I have more confidence that he needs to be elevated from a percentage standpoint in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So we last week with Radio Row, and we know where you stand with Kirk Cousins. And I, you know, like the way I compliment and or amplify your Cousins conversation, because I like Kirk. And if Kirk were the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings in 2018, I'm not going to be mad at that. Quarterback, because I'm very intrigued with taking Cousins and putting him indoors for a majority of the season. Okay, now that's one thing that I don't read or hear enough.
I haven't heard an indoor take for Cousins. Why do you think it, when he's had this level of success that he has had playing outdoors, why do you feel like he will be a materially better quarterback indoors?
Well, because you're dealing with no weather conditions. And I think, you know, with what you want to do with that arm strength, mobility, head on the swivel and the whole thing, you are better able to accomplish what you want to get done in the sterile conditions of the indoor arena for home games, Ford Field, stuff like that. Now, I don't think it is Kirk Cousins goes to Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers because he's playing indoors, but I prefer offenses, passing games, and quarterbacks indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And Cousins would go indoors. Now, your guy, Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Gets fattest deal in the history of the NFL yesterday.
Yeah. I want to talk about this.
It's my belief, because of the Garoppolo deal.
Yep.
If you think Cousins is a $90 million guaranteed guy, you're fooling yourself. I believe that number now goes to 110.
Right.
110 guaranteed. So if you're having Eagles envy, and this happens with me and other people, when a team wins the Super Bowl, you look at what they did, the who, what, where, when, and why, and you want it.
Yeah.
So like now all of a sudden, I'm like, all right, Jerick McKinnon in his exit interview was like, I need to play more, I want to play more, and I'm going somewhere where I'm playing more. I'm like mother, because I just watched Ajayi, Blunt, and Clement three-way carries, like 30 touches, like 33% each.
Yeah.
And it worked. And that's the big reason they moved on Ajayi. We talked about it on the first Friday, the first feast after, is because they set it up so none of these backs were ever tired.
Right.
And they're able to properly slice and dice it to keep everybody fresh, and it worked.
Right.
So now I'm thinking Cook, Murray, McKinnon, I wouldn't mind having that into the 2018. Another thing.
Well, can I just quickly on that?
Of course, Burchie.
If you have to cut Murray for the salary, okay. I mean, I thought Murray played well this year, but if we need to make a move on a quarterback and or re-sign some of our own key free agents,
right,
and we want to set up Anthony Barr for years or whatever, we want to get Trey Waynes back or whatever.
Kendricks.
You know, Kendricks back, right. I mean, these are really
Diggs.
Important signings, right?
Diggs. Hunter.
Yes.
Waynes.
I mean, these are important players for this team.
Bet.
That's the kind of contract that oftentimes ends up getting whacked at somebody like a Latavius.
Okay. But that also is whacking nickels and dimes for Benjamins.
You know, some degree, yes.
So it would have to be more than Latavius or one or two deals like that. So as Eagles envy goes, you know, let's of course not forget, less than a week ago, Nick Foles just won the Super Bowl. Now, God bless Nick, who may have caught lightning in a bottle and was fantastic when he needed to be in the postseason and the Super Bowl. Maybe our new guy, DeFilippo, had everything to do with that. I have absolutely no idea. But the Eagles won the Super Bowl because they are an incredibly balanced and deep team. If you all in for 110 guaranteed or more on one player, the balance and or depth becomes basically non-existent. So if you want to retool part of the Vikings offensive line, the Minnesota Moving Company, say you are infatuated with Patriots left tackle Nate Solder, who's an unrestricted free agent, and very likely will hit free agency. If you want to push chips in on him with a Riley Reiff-like deal, and you want to put Solder at left tackle and Reiff at right tackle.
What a luxury that would be.
And then you have Elflein, and say Remmer stays and he goes to guard. Now you got to figure out another guard spot. If you want to do that or flirt with Carolina Panthers guard Andrew Norwell, who is very well regarded, very highly regarded, and he's going to cost a lot of money. Or three technique Sheldon Richardson, who busted out in Seattle, but may still have a little bit of a run left in him. If you want to flirt with any of those guys, that's all dead if you move on Kirk Cousins.
Well, yes, that's true. But also at the same time, 32 teams in the NFL, Paul, want to have a quarterback problem because your quarterback is so good, you have to pay him a lot of money. I mean, you only have to look. You started this conversation with Jimmy Garoppolo, Paul. You only have to look at the 49ers from this year to look at how incredibly important that position is. This team was a one-win organization until week 12 or whatever when Garoppolo took over, and then they didn't lose another game. I mean, it's just you can only be so good and so consistent for so long without having a really good quarterback. Kirk Cousins gives you that. Automatically. Is he Drew Brees? No. Is he Tom Brady? No, not yet. But he might end, you know, he's not that far off of those guys, frankly. And in a better situation like he'd have in Minnesota than one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the NFL, Washington, maybe he moves in, maybe a year from now. Vikings sign him a year late, 1 year from now, we could be talking about Kirk Cousins, one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Now, look, I love Jimmy G, and I'm not trying to shortchange what Garoppolo did to the Niners vibe. All right, but let's be realistic with all due respect about this situation. They elevate Garoppolo. They beat the Bears 15-14. We're happy for you. They beat the Titans 26-16.
Playoff team. That went to the second round of the playoffs.
Excuse me. They beat the Texans.
All right.
Sans Watson, 26-16. They beat the Titans at San Francisco, 25-23. Mm-hmm. All right. Good win.
Yeah.
Now, the signature win with your guy Garoppolo, 44-33 at home against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That's a nice win.
44 points on one of the two best defenses in the NFL.
And then they beat the Rams 34-13, a game the Rams had everybody.
That is fair.
So I mean...
But those are all games they were losing for the rest of the season, though.
But I understand I understand how things became elevated with Garoppolo, and I agree with you. And I do believe this is a team that has a better chance at 8-8 to 9-7 next season than I thought it would, without a doubt. Garoppolo has a ton to do with that, along with second year for an incredibly innovative, creative, and well-respected head coach. But I just don't want to go overboard when it comes to the overall needs the 49ers will have and may not be able to fill because of what they paid Garoppolo. And the Niners, with their elevation, that elevation might get them to 8-8, 9-7. We're sitting at 13-3, looking to fortify what already is good and amplify and or complement what already is good. And if you spend all the money on one guy, then Rashad Hill's your right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you draft somebody and then you hit on that. So you still have situations at guard. How much do you trust Terrence Newman at age 40? How much do you trust Mackenzie Alexander? What do you want to do about this running back situation? How are you going to find a new Zach Ertz? You have no money for it.
Paul, I'm not letting my need at left guard and slot cornerback stop me from getting my Super Bowl winning quarterback. I'm not doing it. I mean, quarterback is so important. And yes, with every big contract, something else suffers. With every big contract. But you can't scrimp at quarterback. You can't do it.
So you're saying if Kirk Cousins' guaranteed money was the highest in the history of the NFL.
Which it probably will be,
you will
by
do
the
that.
Way. But okay, well,
I can't do that.
Let's rewind the clock just 2 months, Paul.
Hmm.
The Lions just 2 months ago made their quarterback the highest paid player in the NFL.
And missed the postseason.
regardless. Do you think they
Well, it's not regardless, though.
But that's
a factor.
It's not. Do you think they regret that contract?
I can't.
Of course not.
I have
no idea. He's the best player on their team.
Well, I understand that. But if they're looking to compliment Darius Slay, fix their linebacker spot, which has been a problem for many years, and some other things they need to do, including their anemic running attack, they can't do it at a high level because they have no money, because it all went to that quarterback. So I started the conversation by saying, I believe we now need to elevate the percent chance Sam Bradford is more in the mix to become the 2018 quarterback than maybe we thought last week. And I don't want to rush exactly what I think my opinion on who they should bring in should be.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. It's very convoluted. I'm not into speculating or guessing. I want to think this out, and then I want to have a feel for what the right answer is going to be and move forward with that. And I adore Kirk Cousins. I think he's fantastic. I don't adore that 110 guaranteed.
No.
And Bradford, if you have Bradford and a competent backup, maybe even Teddy Bridgewater, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too. It's just not my
And that's
preference.
What it might be.
I can live with Sam as our starting quarterback next year. I can live with Case as my starting quarterback. Cousins is on a whole different level than those two guys in terms of reliability and consistency at a high level. He has three straight seasons without missing any game as the 16-game starter for a team with dysfunction all around him. He has, without Kirk Cousins, the Redskins are like a 3-4 win operation all three of those years. He will elevate a Vikings team that is strong in almost every other area. And I understand that it comes with a cost. If you want to have the highest paid player in the NFL on your roster, it comes with a cost. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, in very short order, will eclipse that, and he will then be the highest paid player in the NFL. And the Packers go to the postseason virtually every year.
I can't put Cousins and 12 in the same conversation.
No, they're not. They're not right now.
Because
they aren't right now.
Well, but because
they never will be.
Because
we don't know that.
Because with 12, and as much as we heard it, it is fact. I mean, when he goes down, now all of a sudden covering up Demarius Randle and Quentin Rollins before he got hurt and all these problems they're having.
Right.
It you can't do it. You know, and Jordy Nelson all of a sudden just falls off the map without 12. So I believe you can overpay or pay the right number for Rodgers and mask certain scenarios on your team.
Because
with Cousins, I'm not sure you can.
It tells you how important the quarterback position is, that when you take a good quarterback off of a roster, like an Aaron Rodgers, everything else looks terrible. That's why you have to have a great quarterback.
But he's not just good. He's a generational quarterback.
Well, you're right. Rodgers is an extreme example.
But the gap between those generational quarterbacks in this league and then everyone else is significant. I mean, there's a massive Mississippi River-sized gap between Aaron Rodgers and the Kirk Cousins of the world. And I think that the gap between a Kirk Cousins and a Sam Bradford is significantly smaller. Okay. And therefore, if I have to pay $110 million guaranteed, which guarantees that I'm going to lose potentially two or more significant core playmakers on the defense, maybe a Stephon Diggs or somebody else goes somewhere else, the team that we're bringing Kirk Cousins into won't be the team that Kirk Cousins has in 2 years.
Yeah.
And for me, that sucks.
Okay.
And I want to have a stable quarterback for this franchise because we haven't seen one maybe in my lifetime.
Yeah,
Dante could have been that guy, but he got hurt.
There's only one stable quarterback in this entire conversation. Kirk Cousins.
Why is
Teddy is not a stable quarterback. Sam is not a stable quarterback.
Why is Case not considered?
And Case isn't either because he doesn't have a track record of stability.
Right.
Right? He has one season of stability, and we don't know how much that changes now that he doesn't have his offensive coordinator here anymore. We don't know. Kirk gives you, he's the only one out there that gives you the combination of healthy play at a high level for three straight years. And by the way, he's not even 30. I mean, these guys never hit free agency. We ought to absolutely be moving on this. Stability at quarterback is the single biggest factor towards long-term success. for any football organization. If you want to look at the teams that always make the playoffs, it's Ben freaking Roethlisberger and the Steelers and Tom Brady with the Patriots and Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. You have to have high-level play at the quarterback position or you don't have sustained greatness. And trying to cobble it together with guys that you just hope stay healthy or hope can somehow turn around what has been a journeyman career, to me, is not a replicatable, high-probability recipe for success.
Nacho Lieber in studio next.
It's the Friday Feast, where at some point, Charge will introduce a topic and PA will pretend to be interested. It's 9 to noon on The Fan.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I'll never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And to all my peoples in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby.
Check it, check it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop.
Lieber.
Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match.
Howdy. What's up, man? How you been?
Really good. Really good. Yeah, good. You?
Excellent. Awful right now.
Why?
Arguing with the co-host about Kirk Cousins' $110 million guarantee because of the Garoppolo deal. It's not 90, it's 110.
I know.
It's probably going to be 110. And, you know, now your new offensive coordinator worked a year with Bradford. Might have a big opinion of Sam's accuracy and Sam's mental acumen. And, you know, then you got the balky knee. And then I'm thinking, like, having Eagles envy, what do I want, you know, to, like, have what they have? And when you look at the crux of it, they have a balanced team with a lot of depth. So then, you know, if you make a Cousins-related move or overture for a $110 guaranteed, can we be balanced for the long haul with depth? And, you know, then, so now I'm starting to like, become infatuated with Bradford and Bridgewater for, like, a combined 18, maybe 19. And then, like, I don't know, flirt with Nate Solder, offensive lineman from the Patriots, put him at left tackle, put Reef at right tackle, just stuff like that to become more, to better fortify the 13-3. So, Charch is giving me anxiety. He's very smart, and he brings up a lot of salient points involving Kirk Cousins, boxed me up a little bit, and I'm glad you're here, because that means you get to talk. So welcome.
Well, I don't know if I can provide any clarity, because I can see it both ways. Boy, it'd be awfully nice to have a true, quote-unquote, franchise quarterback, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Charch was saying, you look at the performance of the team with the 49ers in the last, you know, four or five games with Garoppolo. He's the only difference.
He is. Now
he's
that,
the only.
By the way, one other thing that I didn't even get to. That team put more players on IR than any team in the NFL. The Niners did. So by the end of the year, it's Garoppolo and all scrubs around him, right? Second team guys, and they won all the rest of their games with Garoppolo.
And to your point, do they have a all world offensive line?
Oh, God, no. In fact, they lost numerous players on injured reserve, yeah.
They don't have one of the best running backs. No. They don't have great wide receivers. They're not known.
Their best receiver went on IR, Pierre Garçon.
So to kind of counteract PA's point is, yes, you want to go out and get some top-tier players, but great quarterbacks make the whole team better.
Do we think Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback?
I think
Jimmy Garoppolo is and or will be a great quarterback. You know, so do we think Kirk Cousins is worthy of becoming the highest paid player in the history of the NFL? I just can't wrap my mind around that. The same way, with all due respect to Case, I'm very fond of Case, and I'm very happy with what he gave this team this year. $23 million on the franchise tag, for me, it just doesn't resonate.
So the thing is, it's really hard to speculate, is because we don't know what DeFilippo is going to run and institute here with the Vikings.
And there's that.
Right. So all we can go off is just this past year. Let's just say that he's going to do everything that Doug Peterson did, and he's going to learn from him, and he's going to really attack the tight ends. You know, was it Gary Barnage with the Browns?
2015.
Had a great season when he was... When DeFilippo was there.
Yeah.
What do they do with Ertz? They really target the tight ends. They really want to get the running game going.
Right.
Their wide receivers are deeper threats.
Yep.
You know, and So you add all that up, and it's like you can make the case for Kirk Cousins. He's been very, very tight end friendly in his time in Washington.
Yeah, actually has.
He has a pretty quick release. He has the arm to go deep, which they want to do, and which they have been doing in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Case, not exactly the strongest arm.
And no doubt.
Can be pretty accurate underneath, which is what you need to have in DeFilippo's system. It's his system.
Yeah.
Bradford is, to me, the guy that makes the most sense. Not just because of having time spent with each other, just a few months, but he has all those physical traits that you want. But his knee.
Right.
It's his knee.
And I
hate to look at that with such weight. But when you have a non-impact injury, is what he had, that's a gigantic red flag for me. It wasn't a weird hit. It wasn't a Carson Wentz dive into the end zone, took a weird hit on the knee, tore his ACL. This was...
We still don't know.
Just wear and tear.
Maybe. We don't know. Maybe, for all we know, there could have been something in practice. We have no idea how the knee injury happened, and that puts shrouding it in mystery makes it all the harder for us to have any understanding of how you can trust Sam going forward.
I just don't trust him. And I think if you have a quarterback that's there that you can foresee being with the franchise for 5-6 seasons, let's just say, on the short end, the Vikings haven't had that since I've been around.
No. Me either, right. By the way.
So wouldn't it be nice if you could concentrate even the smaller amount of resources that you have to just build up your team? And unfortunately, yes, you're gonna lose some guys that you really care about. Mm-hmm. You might lose a receiver.
Right.
You might lose a Kyle Rudolph. You might lose, some of these guys. You maybe can't sign Anthony Barr. You can make those decisions as they come. But you don't get great quarterbacks come around very often.
No, and for hitting free agency, basically never. I mean, it takes something like the dysfunction of the Redskins to let a Kirk Cousins as a sub-30-year-old quarterback with all the success he's had the last 3 years to even hit free agency. Almost never happens.
Right.
It's going to be a franchise changer for whatever team decides they're going to go all in on him. And to your point, Vikings never have this luxury, it seems like. We don't have, just consistent quarterback play where you can say, 3 years from now, we know who our guy is. You never have that here.
And the guy that I haven't mentioned yet was Teddy Bridgewater. Now, Teddy played in sort of a similar scheme in college where, he's doing a lot of read option stuff. He's riding the running backs. He's reading half field stuff. He's got to get the ball out quick. A lot of swings, a lot of tunnel screens, stuff like that. So that part he would have familiarity with. He lacks accuracy in a deep ball.
He does.
Those are big problems.
Yes.
It's a big problem in this offense. It's a big problem in any offense. And I think we saw it even when he played. How many balls would he sail over the top of a guy's head from 10 yards away?
Right.
I'm like, Teddy, you got to get your arm down or elbow down, or you got to bend that left knee or whatever you got to do. I don't know all the mechanics of quarterback play, but get the damn ball down. He does it too often. Tips and overthrows. That's how you have interceptions.
Right. So it sounds like you're fundamentally with me on Cousins, that you should at least explore this.
Explore it, for sure.
And, find out exactly what it's going to cost. Today's highest paid quarterback, which Kirk Cousins will be at some point, some team may, 2 years from now, you're the sixth highest paid quarterback.
Right.
It's just this rotating series of guys who are good to great quarterbacks who become the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
When your contract comes up and you're good to great quarterback, you're the new highest paid quarterback.
Right.
Kirk Cousins is going to be the highest paid quarterback today. 2-3 years from now, he'll be the seventh highest paid quarterback. And the cap only ever seems to go up.
Yeah.
The deal you sign him on today when you're paying him in year four will seem pretty damn reasonable.
And I would guess that if you want to tie in the CBA issue with this, I think they've got, 3 or 4 years left on the deal. And DeMora Smith has already said, we're going back to the table. We're not just going to extend this thing. We're going to, as he likes to say, we're going to go to war, which is, I think, the stupidest thing to ever say. But they're going to go to war with the NFL. So if you would have said $110 million contract, guarantee most of it in the 3 or 4 years,
right?
Because you don't know what you don't know what the CBA is going to say. You don't know how much money the salary cap is going to be. So protect yourself on the front end, knowing that this is what we're going to have. This we already know the window, and we can project on a small percentage year to year that it's going to go up. That guarantee the first 3 or 4 years, and after that, if CBA is an issue or whatever, cut them.
How does this work? Say you investigate a Cousins deal, and you get into a situation like teams get into with free agents, and you battle and you go right down to the wire. Might have happened a couple of years ago with the Vikings with Raiders offensive lineman Kelechi Osemele. I believe they were all in, and I believe Osemele was like, nope, I'd prefer to go here, and I want to live here, and all that. Okay, whatever. What happens if you do that with Cousins, and then he's like, thanks for everything, guys, but I'm going to go to Denver basically for the same deal? Is it easy to go back to people and be like, I'm sorry, I need you to be my quarterback? You know, like, how does that work?
You can hurt some feelings, for sure. You can. I mean, it's no different, really, than what Kevin Stefanski's going
to
go through.
If you flirt with Miss America, is it easy to come back to Miss Young America Norwood?
It's not easy. It can be done. Mm-hmm. And I think that level-headed guys like Case Keenum would understand. I think Sam Bradford clearly knows his lot in life right now. Like, I don't think that he would be butthurt by
and
it.
And I don't think there's a great market for Bradford. And I think there's a minimal market for Teddy, or right. will be.
Right.
Right. So you can buy some time with those guys. Yeah. I think you certainly have. You have simultaneous conversations with Cousins and Bradford and Teddy and Case, and you're finding out the landscape for all of those guys. Cousins is your top priority. If you can't get Cousins at the price you can live with, you're still talking to these other guys, and you're going to have to be. Vikings never make like a day one or day two move on free agency. They're going to have to do it here. I mean, Cousins is going to go day one or day two. His deal's going to be done.
Yeah, the early tampering period. Yeah, it's going to be day one.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you're going to have to be involved early. You're going to know your decision. You're going to know what Cousins is going to, this thing's going to play itself out in 2 days. And then you turn, if you don't have Cousins, you turn your attention to your other quarterbacks. I think it's that simple.
And feelings may get hurt. But you know what? I can put my feelings away if you're Case Keenum and you're going to get a pocket full of cash.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 20 right? million. Yeah, he can daub his tears with his new contract, right?
Hold
with
on.
Case's new
Why
deal.
Are you smirking?
What'd you trip on?
There was a door behind the studio door.
Okay, it's one of those deals where you see somebody else take an L, get hurt, stumble, and you're not supposed to laugh, and you want to laugh. It's like when say you have a double door refrigerator, and the freezer doors open up top. Somebody's getting something from the bottom. They
oh, that hurts.
Stand up, hit their head.
And right. Very painful.
You can't laugh, but you got to laugh. And once you know that they don't have a concussion, you just laugh. It's hilarious. So you guys are laying out Elite Football Mind takes. I watched Nordo walk in, double fisted, a couple of white cups. One I assume with coffee.
Yeah.
The other I assume with water. And he stumbles.
That door's supposed to open a lot farther than it did there.
Yeah. And the coffee
all over my hand.
All over his hand. So now he's shaking his hand like it hurts. I'm trying to shake it off.
Ice machine doesn't work out.
Drops three F bombs. Kicks the wall three times. Throws a major tantrum. I'm watching the whole thing and I can't laugh because you guys are deep into a very important conversation. Walks over to the score 680, stops hockey during a spot, gets paper towels, drops three more F-bombs, comes in, kicks the wall again. That all was within the last 3.5 minutes.
I love it.
And I kept my composure.
I owe the company a chair.
So what did you...
you kick these awful chairs that are in the studio, please.
Did you pick up a chair and throw it?
No, I... Well, we'll see.
Is it broken?
I don't know yet.
Piping
hot coffee all over my right hand right now. But, massive L.
But how did it happen?
The chair was behind the studio door.
Yeah.
So when I have my hands full, you kick the door open, it swings.
God,
I've worked
awesome.
Here long enough. You
yeah.
know when it's coming back
yeah,
and you scoot in.
And these doors weigh 180 pounds.
So when
it's
they,
like Ben Lieber, before he goes to title boxing, he bench presses these doors
correct.
Just to get a pre-workout.
Yeah, a tackling dummy just hit me and smoked coffee all over my hands.
Okay.
So.
But what was with the tantrum? What about handling things with poise?
There's no poise when you get the hot coffee.
But the tantrum was epic.
Yeah.
You kicked the wall three times and kicked a chair so much so you broke it.
Well, I'm a man child.
Okay.
I'm emotional.
So are you okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
So do you think, Ben,
segue back into this.
It's well, because I'm really, really struggling with this, and it's not like Twitter, emails, friends, whatever, they're like, Paul, you have to have the right answer. You have to have the right decision now. No, I don't.
No.
And I don't know exactly what I want to be done. That's why we're talking it out in therapeutic fashion. Because the way you guys lay things out with Cousins, I'm like, F it, I'm in.
Good.
I'm kind of like, F it, I'm in. But I'm not completely there. Because I recognize they may, through free agency, need help with their offensive line. Terrence Newman's going to be 40. God bless him, but he's going to be 40 in a position where you need speed. I don't trust Mackenzie Alexander, and, you know, unless he continues to dramatically improve. I'm just not trusting that situation. I am really, despite the NFC title game, I'm really trusting Trey Waynes and Eric Kendricks and where their careers are going. Barr for the most part, Hunter for the most part, Diggs for the most part. So, I mean, like, I want those things. I want to be in the Nate Solder sweepstakes. You know, I wouldn't mind having him, and I'm just fearful that if you ponder Cousins, you can't do any of that. You can't replace any of that stuff, that you're just kind of stuck. You know, but you have that quarterback, so maybe that makes all the difference.
You know, I think having a quarterback, and we see this not all the time, but we see this certainly happen, where a team signs a marquee guy, and all of a sudden now in the media there's a lot of attention, especially a team that went 13-3. They add one critical piece, which is quarterback. All of a sudden you get a guy like Nate Solder. Maybe he wants to come here.
Yeah,
like, maybe he doesn't want to come here just for the money. Maybe he actually wants to come here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
but Jacksonville and the Vikings just went to the conference title games with Blake Bortles and Case Keenum, playing full seasons. I'm not even going to use the Foles example, you know, because he was great in the postseason, wasn't great after replacing Wentz. I think against the Giants he was pretty good. But outside of that, okay, they did a great job with Foles in a short amount of time. Bortles and Keenum played the entire season and were a step from the Super Bowl. So it can be done with quarterbacks that don't get $110 million.
Yes, but what you don't see historically is consistent ability to get to that level with the Case Keenums and the Blake Bortles of the world.
Can't argue.
Those are things where everything else works perfectly. Your running game's good, your defense is good, your special teams are good, and then you get by with those quarterbacks. You don't get the year-after-year consistency without high-level quarterbacking.
Nacho Lieber feasting with us. It's a Friday football feast. PA in charge. Ben Lieber in studio. More after this.
You're listening to PA.
Hey, we're trying to do what we do, man. Bleacher Report. Gang, gang, we out here.
Okay, hold on. I'll get Bleacher Report in a second. Gang, gang, we'll figure that out later.
On the Fan.
Ha! Holla, horse from the land of the lost. Behold the pale horse, off course. Follow me, Wu-Tang gotta be the best.
The Ocean Air Seafood Room. Their commitment to freshness sets them apart from the rest. And right now, you can win a $150 gift certificate to Ocean Air. Just check out our contest page. Go to KFAN.com.
Elbow room, baby, play me, baby, fall down, go boom. Party people gather round, count down to apocalypse. I'm the kid with the golden arms. And I'm the hot mix. Pass the blunt. Michael, don't front. You had it for a minute, but it seemed like a month. Now I'm choking.
Let's spend a little time, 9 to noon, discussing relationships. And, you know, to some, the antiquated approach the National Football League will take. In that, you know, if they know somebody or know something, they're more comfortable with it, you know, and moving forward with it. What I mean, Ben Lieber played for what might be Indianapolis Colts head coach Leslie Frazier. I want to get into that momentarily. But the essence of the Bradford angle today has been that Vikings' new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, spent an extended amount of time with Sam. So in just as I said very early in the show, just knowing how the NFL works, if you are familiar with somebody and a situation and you like it, then you're going to elevate your opinion on it when it comes to a legitimate quandary with quarterback here. So it's not like, you know, it's just weaving my way through this. It's not like my 9 to noon opinion is DeFilippo's here. He knows Bradford. Bradford's accurate, good arm. It has to be Bradford. I'm merely presenting it because I know, like Shurmur, when he came here and became the offensive coordinator, went back historically with Sam to 2010. Okay, Sam's the guy. You know, so you just know it works that way.
Sure.
That's why I'm elevating the Bradford portion of the equation because of the new offensive coordinator. Do you think that's fair?
No, I think that's 100% fair. I mean, that's what we do to every coach that comes in. You automatically think, where are the connections? Who do they know?
Yeah.
In our weekly prep that we get from every team, it has connections, right? You want to know who knows who and who's played with who and whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that's a legitimate mark for decision making. Mm-hmm. I think Sam is the most talented of the three quarterbacks that are on the roster right now, but his red flag is the knee. That knee issue is a big problem for me. So if they can get clearance from Sugarman and the rest of the staff and said, listen, this was a freak thing. It's not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
He's generally healthy overall. We know he's tough. He can take a lot of hits. He's the guy, and we're going to clear him. Mm-hmm. Then I'm all for it.
All right, last one on this before we change the conversation for a hot ticket. It's off a tweet. We all received it. Tim Loisel or Loiselli, I believe. I'm sorry, I'm going to read it to you, and then I want you to respond to it mm-hmm. with your elite football mind. I'm sorry, but what has Cousins done to warrant franchise quarterback money? He has one 10-win season, one playoff appearance, and no playoff wins. Signing him to $25 to $30 million a year would be a mistake. That doesn't even include the 110 guaranteed. So if you're verbally representing Kirk Cousins 9 to noon like you are, how do you respond to that?
I'll respond to it this way. Two parts. One, again, every quarterback who is between good and great, when your deal comes up, you are the new highest paid quarterback. So he is, even though we're not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins is certainly a good quarterback.
It's what the market's saying right now.
It is what the market is saying. Right. And there will be multiple teams that are going to be very happy to sign him to this kind of deal and will be competing to sign him to $25 million a year. Kirk Cousins has been the starter for 3 years, never missed a game, despite myriad problems on offensive line, maybe the worst running game in the NFL over those last 3 years, and just rotational guys at wide receiver have been in and out, busts elsewhere, cast-offs from other teams. I mean, no consistent receivers whatsoever. Nobody on the likes of a Diggs or a Thielen. He's never had a Dalvin Cook in his backfield. This will be arguably the most consistent offensive line he's played with, although Trent Williams is awesome, but that guy's constantly hurt too. So I think a lot of teams are going to look at, wow, you got a 10-win season? What would the Redskins have been without him? I mean, if they didn't have him with all these problems on offense,
yeah,
this is a 3-4 win operation every year for the Redskins without him, and yet he got them to 10 wins. He got them to a playoff berth.
Got it.
And I think that's your case, and that's my response to that. Drop him in here with all of the advantages that you've got with this defense,
right?
The offensive line, Diggs and Thielen, and boy, you can really make a case that Cousins goes from good to great.
That's still just a 1 year operation, though. You keep talking about the defense and the O line and all of these things, and they're all advantages in the short term until you can't afford to extend and keep these guys around. Charge.
Well. Listen, it's a luxury to have a quarterback that you want to pay so much money because he's that good. And of course, there will be trade-offs. But you know what? Mike Zimmer's coach is a defensive-minded coach. If I got to take a couple of key players away from his defense and hope that he can fill in and we can still be a top 10, maybe we're not a top 2 defense. Maybe we're a top 8 defense now.
Yeah.
You know, that's a trade-off I'm willing to make because quarterback's that important.
You know, in the Patriots example, I mean, that is the bastion of football excellence for coming up on 2 decades now, obviously with Tom Brady. Now, I'm looking at the recent product, which put up a lot of points and lost the Super Bowl. Did you play with Danny Amendola in St. Louis?
Yes.
Yeah, Amendola in St. Louis. I mean, Amendola was okay.
Yeah, he was hurt a lot.
He was hurt a lot, and he was an okay guy. He's a game changer with Brady. Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan is not, outside of playing with Brady, I don't think he's going to change the entire thing for a team to get like a massive amount of money. Now, Gronkowski's different. Those running backs, James White, Deion Lewis, Burkhead, Gillislee.
They're just guys.
They're cast-offs.
Right.
They're
now, this is, I mean, this obviously with Brady, it's the highest of high-end examples. But even players on their defense, you know, it's tough for me to get around the quarterback elevating the entire thing, no matter your level of talent, for year after year after year off what Nordo said. I mean, this defense was so high end this year, and in the biggest moment gave up 31 points. The Eagles defense probably was the best in the NFL, allowed 30 and change in the Super Bowl. I'm coming around to the point where if you can't score, and score en masse and repeatedly, led by somebody who gets it, a franchise quarterback, it's going to be really difficult to win the Super Bowl.
So here's my, maybe this is a bad example because I don't know all the details. Maybe, Chart, you would understand and help me on this. Denver Broncos, right? Hall of Fame quarterback, win the Super Bowl. They essentially had the same team.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you're going to, every year you're going to turn over a few guys here and there, right?
No doubt.
They still had one of the best defensive personnels in football.
Yeah.
They essentially had the same skill guys.
Hey, no they doubt. Did. They did.
They missed a quarterback. Yeah. Right. And look where they're at now.
They went from Super Bowl with Peyton Manning to out of the playoffs and out of the playoffs.
Exactly. And the thing is, you look at Super Bowl winning teams, they don't have the best player at every position.
No.
They don't.
Usually they don't.
So you going back to your point, Charge, I would sacrifice a top five defense for a top 10 defense to have a
great quarterback.
Great quarterback.
That's right.
And longevity at quarterback and stability and consistency at quarterback.
That's thank you. You've articulated it perfectly.
Charge, are you seeing somewhere online that Leslie Frazier has a legitimate chance to become the Colts head coach?
He's interviewing, I believe, today with the Colts to for their head coaching opening. He was the defensive coordinator for the Bills last year, and the Bills defense had a really good year.
They had a good year.
Really good year. And he was the defensive coordinator for Tampa. And it was a wreck prior to that. Now, Ben, you worked with Leslie Frazier as defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator for 5 years, so you know a lot about what it's like to be with Leslie. And so, I'm really curious about whether or not you think Leslie can succeed as a second time head coach where he failed as a first timer here.
I have my reservations about it. You know, if I were Jim Irsay, I would think that you can find somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to use Leslie Frazier as a defensive coordinator, fine.
Well, the Bills won't let him go because he's their current defensive coordinator.
He's not going to make a lateral move. But my point is that I think he's really good in that role. He understands secondary play. He's very smart. He talks to players like the players want to be talked to and treated. I mean, how many times have we seen, like, talk to me like a man, treat me like a man? Well, he does do that. You know, he is a guy that has his door open all the time. I think you pretty much know where you are with him at all times. He doesn't rule with an iron fist. And I think that there are times where he needs to do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he can lose a little bit of the room when he is a little nonchalant. There have been times where we come off a bad game defensively, and having gone through it before and been played on good defenses and not so good defenses, there are times, even as grown men, that you need to be yelled at.
Yeah.
You need to be held accountable. And you need to be ridiculed, you need to be embarrassed, and you need to be shamed a little bit. Because that's what gets guys to motivate for the practice that next day. And that certainly doesn't happen in a lot of organizations or a lot of other jobs. But, you know, in football, you can do that. And guys are motivated by that. And I think too often we would come into meetings and he would just kind of go through, here's what we did wrong, and here's our adjustments. And we kind of walk away, and especially the young guys, not really understanding, like, how much more accountable you have to be.
Right.
And you really leave it on the players and the veteran players to develop that culture. And that really shouldn't always be about the players.
No.
That really should come from the coach, whether it's a coordinator or the head coach.
That's a top-down thing.
It is a top-down thing. And you know, how many times we've seen, we're talking about the Redskins right now, their dysfunction seems to come from top-down.
Yeah.
So I just think that he's a great guy, very well-respected. I think his demeanor is not necessarily what you want as a head coach.
You know, when Zimmer came here in 2014, the word that all these players had, it's all of a sudden the same word coming from all of these veterans, accountability. And you never felt like Frazier was willing to get his hands dirty on the accountability front with the players.
You know, I would see him at practice every once in a while, kind of throw his papers down, like, God darn it. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And that, like, you know, I know that you're grown men and you're paid handsomely to play a sport. Mm-hmm. But again, I'll go back to the fact that guys need to be pushed.
Yeah.
Guys need to be challenged. I don't think that he verbally challenges guys enough.
We had Greenway on, I think it was just, was it last week at Radio Row?
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how Zimmer's first year here, he hears Zimmer two fields away screaming at somebody, and he doesn't know what it's all about, and Zimmer's running across two fields, and it turns out it's him, And, you know, this is Greenway. You know, I'm Greenway, and I've been here forever, and I've done all these things. And he's in Greenway's face. And he was like, wow, this is different.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's part of the job.
But that sets a tone.
It does.
You know, it sets a tone that it doesn't matter what you've done before. You're going to be treated as equal. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always happen. A lot of times it doesn't always happen. There is a hierarchy of how guys are treated. So, you know, that's a case in point. I know people are looking at Tony Dungy and being at Indianapolis, and like, well, Leslie Frazier is the same type of guy. He learned under him. They're friends and all that stuff. Right. Like, why couldn't he do the same thing? Because he doesn't have Peyton Manning.
Right.
And
Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, you don't have that. Edgerrin James, like, yeah. you don't have all that. And
Jeff Saturday.
I'm not sold on Andrew Luck. There's a lot of reading between the lines as far as, like, questioning his toughness. You know, they's like, there's nothing more we can do with the shoulder.
Yeah.
There's nothing more. There's,
well, healthy,
there's experts have looked at
healthy,
his shoulder.
Healthy, Luck is great. Now, you want to talk about
healthy Bradford is great.
Well, yeah, that too. Although, you know, Luck, they were the worst team in football the year before Luck was drafted. Then Luck shows up, and they were a playoff team. And then Luck gets hurt, and they're awful again. And they have no help around them. I mean, awful draft after awful draft and terrible free agent signings and, you know, a terrible front office that they just cleaned house on last year. So I think actually, you know, I think Luck is just the beginning of the... I think Luck's actually pretty good, but the rest of the roster is awful. And I don't know that Frazier would be a guy that can elevate a bad roster. I don't know. He doesn't feel like that guy, does he?
And that's kind of where I question.
Yeah.
Nacho Lieber, thanks for the time. See you next week. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You do the same.
When we return... The savagery of Paul Charchian via Twitter right now would make Hannibal Lecter blush. We share that next.
It's PA in Charge.
You know, we believe in each other so much and we've worked so hard that you just know who's there in the foxhole with you. And you know, that's a confident feeling.
On the Fan.
Hey, check out our contest page at KFAN.com because it's getting to be that time of the year. You can enter for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Home and Remodeling Show. Home and Remodeling Show returns next weekend, February 16th through the 18th, and it's at U.S. Bank Stadium. For complete event information, all you got to do, go to the Minneapolis Home and Remodeling Show. .com. Building castles in the
sky, just the two of us. Oh my God! You and I. We look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. Just the two of us. Just the two of us. Building them castles in the sky. Just the two of us.
PA in Charge. You and I. Just the two of us on a Friday football feast at 10:40. Good morning. Brian Heating and Cooling Studios, FM 100.3, The Fan. Why do you think they did it?
Who's that?
Elfrid Payton from Orlando to the Phoenix Suns.
I always love that one.
I mean, I know Orlando, and I mean, of course you know this because you're in elite basketball mind.
Yeah, that's me.
But Orlando, without Vucevic, has really been struggling. One of the worst teams in the NBA. But recently was down 18 to Cleveland, came back and beat the Cavs by 18 the game before the Wolves lost to the Cavs. Orlando had a spine tingler in the at Miami against the Heat with Dragic and Whiteside playing. And as you know, I mean, because you know more about it than me, Justice Winslow just came back. Josh Richardson's been really good.
Yes.
So I just, you know, with the bevy of trades yesterday, I can't figure out if Orlando likes DJ Augustine as much as it does to move Peyton, who's a very young player, to a team in the Phoenix Suns that has Devin Booker, who is a tweener. He's a one, one and a half, but he can play a little point. I can't figure it out.
Well, obviously the Magic wanted the second most favorable of the Grizzlies, Hornets, and Heat's 2018 second round picks. I mean, clearly you got to look at that part of it, and you got to factor in the pick without a doubt.
No doubt.
Especially because it's the second most favorable and not the third most favorable.
NFL clomped on the NBA yesterday. I'm in the sinkhole, middle of the afternoon, mashing on the feast.
Yeah.
Firing up NBA TV because the Cavs just moved Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
And I just watched them the night before against the Wolves, just major deals. And I'm watching ESPN, actually, with the Windhorse bit. And elite NBA minds. And then across the bottom, breaking, Jimmy Garoppolo gets richest deal in history of NFL. And then, like, everything on Twitter and online goes the way of Garoppolo and the Niners. Yeah. And let's talk about the NFL. And we'll continue our coverage of NBA trade deadline day. But joining us now is Adam Schefter to discuss the ramifications and implications of Jimmy Garoppolo's deal with the Niners. Good morning. Right. Good afternoon, Adam. So the NFL came over the top on the NBA yesterday with the Jimmy G deal.
Well, and the Vikings getting their offensive coordinator.
And that was last night.
Yes.
His name is John DeFilippo, if you just joined 9 to noon. 39 years of age, quarterbacks coach for the Super Bowl champion Eagles. He was an offensive coordinator at San Jose State in 2011 and with the Cleveland Browns in 2015.
He got a win out of Johnny Manziel.
Oh.
How about that?
What?
Johnny Manziel has a win,
yeah,
and it was with John.
Wait, DeFilippo.
DeFilippo.
DeFilippo was the coordinator for the single greatest one-hit wonder in the history of the Friday Football Feast.
How about that?
Remember when I looked back at how bad the Raiders were against tight ends?
Yeah.
So then we're at a Friday Football Feast, and you're doing your thing, and you're crushing me as usual, and then I'm like, I'm going with Gary Barnidge. And you're like, who? Gary Barnidge, because the Raiders are bad against tight ends.
Yes.
And Barnidge did this in his previous game, and I sense a big one coming. And Barnidge in 2015, that game, I think, against the Raiders, might have been four catches, 120. Feels like four, 120 and two.
He went bonkers one game, for sure.
Right.
He did.
It was a one-hit wonder.
Yep.
Coordinated by John DeFilippo.
And, you know, the funny thing is he went on to have a really good year.
My first one-hit wonder at the Friday Football Feast into the 2018 season, David Morgan.
I always love that one.
I'm making, in your charge auctions, pay a dollar for Morgan.
Yeah.
Because you're going to want that 4, 120, and 2, week number one. And then you're on your own after that.
I like you're already working your 2018 fantasy football cheat sheet. I like that.
Well, you have to.
Manziel was he won two games as a starter in 2015, Paul. And was that 2015? That was
Filipacek.
That was John DeFilippo.
It's Filipacek
as the offensive coordinator,
like Shermacek.
That is as telling as anything.
Shermacek won 9 games in Cleveland over 2 years. Mm-hmm. Our offense scores 24 a game. Is a big reason we're in the NFC title game.
Yeah,
he becomes the head coach of the New York Football Giants. Filipacek not only wins in Cleveland, he wins with Manziel.
Manziel.
And he puts Gary Barnidge on Kellen Winslow-like numbers.
Yes.
So
Barnidge out of the league now without him.
Without Filipacek.
That's right. Filipacek, I like it. We needed a nickname for him because it can't be Flip, right?
No.
So here's your opportunity. This is it, Filipacek.
His nickname's Flip. Everybody will call him Flip.
I don't know.
I'm not calling him Filipacek.
In this town, I don't know if Flip's going to fly.
If you have Eagles envy, and I and others will get it after you watch something achieve and or attain things you cannot get or do not have, like a Super Bowl victory.
Yes.
And the who, what, where, when, and why. If you have Eagles envy, you want offensive linemen, a three-headed running attack, passes to the quarterback, 3 stud receivers, and a tight end like Zach Ertz. That's what you want if you have.
If I want to replicate the Eagles exactly.
Why wouldn't you want to?
Well,
it's a deep team.
I would rather.
That's balanced and doesn't give a quarterback $110 million guaranteed. Yet.
Yet. And by the way, when Carson Wentz's deal comes up, mm-hmm. he will be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
So,
and
you know,
Fletcher Cox will play for the Chicago Bears.
Right. I mean, you know, when something's got to give, you always re-sign your quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, other things give. You know, teams never let a Carson Wentz style player expose him to free agency so they can keep a middle linebacker. You know, that never happens.
See,
it won't happen here.
What is separating the trifecta of the Friday Football Feast, you and I and producer Nord O'Brien Heating and Cooling Studios, is no matter what they do, because I meant what I said to the general manager 8 days ago. I honestly believe the Vikings are in a no-lose situation here. I think whatever move they make, is they're going to be able to win a bunch of games with that decision. It's just the picture-perfect decision, maybe scooping all the chips, the whole thing.
Well,
the Super Bowl and the whole thing. So no matter what they do, I'm not going to become offended. If they go all in on Kirk Cousins, I'm good. If they go Bradford 1, Teddy 2, I'm good. If they franchise Case, I mean, I got to hold my nose a little bit on that, but I'm okay.
I'm okay with that too, actually.
But for you guys, specifically Nordo, if they don't sign Cousins because he's all in on Cousins, then you guys are going to become offended.
No, but you're missing the ones. You said there isn't a scenario out there where the Vikings end up losing this thing. There is. Bridgewater into Slaughter. And that, you know, that is, and
come
that's
on.
A real possibility. What?
No, it's not a real
possibility.
It is. It is not.
It is a possibility.
In a 10-horse race, it's 90-1.
I think that's
not happening.
Why do you think that's not happening?
Bridgewater 1 and Slaughter 2?
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you
tell me why it's not a possibility.
If you do that, all right, you'll have so much money to spend in free agency. You can get Solder, Norwell, Sheldon Richardson. I mean, you can fortify everything and roll ahead with Teddy.
And you're looking at drafting a quarterback with the 30th overall pick then at that point.
Yeah. Did they not win a division with Teddy? Did they not give Slaughter unprecedented practice squad money?
This is why it is a possibility. Now you're turning it into a possibility, aren't you?
But you think it's an L if they do it.
Oh, yeah, that's an L.
But they're not doing it. That's not happening that way.
Let's hope so. Let's hope not. But keep in mind, the Vikings don't automatically get to control every scenario outside of this, other than the ability to franchise any of the quarterbacks they want.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only leverage point the Vikings would have
to stop that
scenario.
But I wish I understood more about this tolling bit. The Teddy and the tolling, and like the Vikings get to have him, might get to have him for like $1.5 million this year, where it's non-negotiable, or I don't understand it.
And Spielman made it sound like last week that it was up to the NFL.
Right.
Like it was a very flippant, short comment and during his presser while we were at Radio Row. It's up to the NFL or to figure it out. So if that's the case, I mean,
so this is not a trivial point to this whole thing, this tolling bit.
Right, that's why I brought it up. I'm an elite, non-trivial mind.
Our understanding, the Viking fan base and everything, was that the Vikings had decided they would not toll Teddy's contract even if they could.
Did you stifle a sneeze again? Your eyes all messed up.
No, I'm not healthy.
Flatulence.
Then data point number two only happened last week, where we find out that maybe the Vikings, regardless of the way the Vikings want to go on this, the NFL may pressure the Vikings to toll the contract because the NFL doesn't want to set a precedent of letting guys out of the option to toll. The tolled contract bit effectively says that if any given player is not able to play football because of an injury for enough times, they have to relive that year of their contract again. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Vikings may ultimately end up doing with Teddy, even though they said they might not.
If Teddy was active like six games.
They were, but he was inactive for those first, you know, X number of games.
Oh.
And that rolls all the way back, you know, now, whatever, several seasons. So, the tolling could end up working to the Vikings' advantage, even if Teddy doesn't want it.
Tolling.
They may pin it all on them.
The part of this stuff?
What?
They may pin it on the NFL and say, well, you know, we were the good guys in this. We didn't want to toll you, but the NFL made us do it.
Tolling.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Yeah. Kevin Drake to my Twitter.
Yeah.
I completely agree with Charge.
What?
That a top-tier quarterback is worth having to give up some other things. Problem is, Cousins has not shown that he is that guy and not shown the ability to elevate his team the way Garoppolo did. Well, that is a box.
No, it is not even close to a box.
Yeah, you're right. It's a coffin.
No, yeah, for him. What's this guy's name again?
Drake. Kevin Drake.
Kevin Drake.
Yeah.
If your problem, and Garoppolo is a great example of how important the quarterback position is. Had the Redskins not had Kirk Cousins, they'd have been the 49ers before Garoppolo. They'd have been struggling to get a win a month. They'd have been a disaster, probably. We don't know that. You know, your case is, well, Garoppolo, you know, that if your case is Cousins didn't do enough to elevate the Redskins,
yeah.
I come back with, show me what the Redskins would have been like for 3 years without him. Starting RG3 again, or God only knows who, Jesus. They'd have been a disaster.
Ugh.
I honestly believe he turned a 3-win operation in Washington into 8, 9, and 10-win operations.
Non-football segment next will include a recap of some of the pertinent trades that transpired in the NBA yesterday, and a reminder: the Minnesota Timberwolves have a big spot game tonight. Back after this,
it's PA in charge on the Fan.
Is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
Gang, gang, we out here.
The St. Paul Winter Carnival is happening now through February 10th. The coolest celebration on Earth. Includes three parades, ice carving, snow sculpting, polar plunges, live music, and tons of family activities. Details at wintercarnival.com. It's powered by the official jeweler of the Winter Carnival, Wedding Day Diamonds.
You
know, we originate from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios. Bryan Heating and Cooling's slogan is whatever it takes. And he mentions the Winter Carnival, which is in St. Paul, and I was adjacent to it last evening. I had a...
What do you mean? You were in St. Paul?
Twice. I had Box in the Box yesterday morning,
yes.
Went back to the sinkhole, then had a Bryan Heating and Cooling owner's appreciation party at like 317 Rice or something like that.
Okay.
Very cool place. Like Herbie's is adjacent to it.
All right.
Very good evening. I do it yearly. And I've been with Bryan Heating and Cooling for years, doing whatever it takes. The doing whatever it takes portion of the equation last night involving your favorite city, St. Paul, involves whatever it takes to find parking in St. Paul at 4:45 in the evening or 4:30. It's unbelievable. Now, I'm not an elite St. Paul mind, so therefore I don't, you know, Fairness and Capital City Act. I do not know where the nooks and crannies are, and I'm sure they're there, and I can't find them. But driving around for 20 minutes trying to find parking, holy cow.
Yeah, well.
With the Winter Carnival and a Wild game, so it probably was my L.
Yeah, maybe.
Right.
Not to mention the convention that was taking place. Everything about parking in St. Paul, even yesterday morning, was a clipping penalty from hell.
Yeah, right, right. It was unbelievable. Now, these NBA trades that transpired yesterday... None involved the Minnesota Timberwolves. However, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they moved your guy Derrick Rose to the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz subsequently are going to or did buy out Derrick Rose.
Yeah, right.
Which means that if he clears waivers or when he clears waivers.
Right. There are people that are listening right now that honestly wanted the Wolves to sign Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose could be joining your favorite NBA team today.
No way.
Oh my God.
What do you mean, no way? It could happen. Why are people so wound up over Derrick Rose? I mean, signing here. If he does, he'll play 6 minutes a game. He's not rolling in and usurping Jones and or Teague.
That's the worry, though, right?
I mean, well, why does that need to be a sweat?
He can take all the minutes from Teague he wants, frankly.
No, I think it's the Tyus.
Come on.
I'm not over the Rubio trade yet.
Jeff Teague.
I'm not over it yet, and I'm not going to be over it anytime soon, unless Jeff Teague has to play a lot better for me to get past that.
Well, your stance and emotions are fueled by the fact that Rubio had a 34-point game at one point this week. So, I mean, is this like a season-long stance with Rubio? Well,
this goes back to the this goes back to last year.
Moment. You're being a prisoner of the
At
moment.
At this time last year, Rubio was playing the best basketball of his entire career. He was playing, I mean, so many of the things that we always thought he could be, he was emerging into in this system.
Yeah.
And then systematically, once the offseason hit, all this team tried to do was get rid of him. And I'm still baffled by it.
Right.
Jeff Teague has provided nothing, in my mind, that Rubio couldn't already do.
Why do you know more about basketball than Tom Thibodeau?
I think Thibodeau was very good for Rubio, and I don't understand why Thibodeau worked to get Rubio out, because Rubio was so much more effective with him than he had been with any other coach he had ever played for.
Concerns, I'm going to speculate, concerns late game with hitting that big shot with 45 seconds to go to elevate your team
sure.
in a big spot.
Totally fair concern.
You've never been able to trust Ricky doing it.
Yep.
However, fairness and Teague act, he's never done it here.
No.
I mean, it's not happening here. And what, like, if you and I had this conversation into the season, I'd be like, I prefer having Teague because Teague is more offensively gifted than Ricky. Now that I've watched 50 games and change, and I know Butler, the alpha that is Butler,
yeah,
is going to...
He wants that shot anyway.
Every time.
Every time.
Right.
And you want to give them that shot every
right.
time.
So
and if it's not him, it's Wiggins.
So the
right?
Yeah, or Cat.
Right.
Yeah.
So the it's kicking never it going to be Teague anyway.
The kicking it to Teague bit's not happening.
Right.
And yeah, I think... And Ricky... Yeah. I got to break down Ricky's game log and like look at the whole thing. Ricky went through a stretch of like a month where he was shooting 30%.
Yeah.
And they cut his minutes...
Yep.
Now, Ricky of late's been good. So I can't conclusively say I would prefer Ricky over Teague, but what I can say, Fairness and Inaccuracy Act, is the kicking it to Teague late in games to hit that big three-pointer Ricky wouldn't hit, he's not getting the ball. It's not happening.
And he shouldn't.
Right.
Honestly. And then, you know, and defensive liability just begins to describe him. So, you know, and not that Ricky was a shutdown defender, but he was a willing defender and an energetic defender. And we don't have that either.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't get me going on this. I'm still not over it. I know the decision was, what, probably 9 months ago that trade happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not over it yet.
So the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes.
Two nuns and a goat got off a train in Cleveland. Copyright Dark Star. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they beat the Wolves in overtime in dramatic fashion.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of it?
I didn't.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You had the eye. Was it the eye?
I think it was the eye and the left testicle.
Yeah, left testicle. Yeah. That's yeah. right. You had a case of sockolitis.
Right.
When's Whiskey Weekend?
That's this coming weekend.
That you like leave
so
today?
Excited. No, I leave next Thursday.
Oh, next week. Got
yes.
it. All right. So the
Weekend after next.
Cavs beat the Wolves in dramatic fashion.
Was it overtime or
overtime?
Yes.
Yeah, well, one of the most entertaining games of the entire season.
It was.
The Butler-LeBron bit, it permitted me to hearken to the days of James Worthy against Dominique Wilkins.
Wow.
It was like that.
Mm.
You weren't getting much defense, and one guy could not stop the other guy, but they were so unstoppable, it made for great reality TV from an NBA standpoint.
Now, were they both getting each other's assignment offensively and defensively?
Mostly.
Okay.
Butler went a patch where he did not check LeBron, but he mm-hmm. had him the majority of the game.
Yeah.
And LeBron had Butler a fair amount. So they win, Cavs win, and then the next day they trade Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, forget the draft picks, to the LA Lakers for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. The Cavaliers also acquired George Hill, Rodney Hood, and the draft rights to something called Arturas something for Jay Crowder, your guy Derrick Rose, and a swap of like picks. The Kings got Iman Shumpert, who was a Cav, Joe Johnson, and stuff like that out of it.
So basically the Cavaliers changed their whole roster around LeBron.
They also right? traded Dwayne Wade to the Miami Heat, so he goes back whence he came. For a 2024 second round pick.
2024 second round pick.
Yeah, and it's
7 years from now.
And it's,
by the
list,
way, there
it's
might
listed
not
as
be
heavily
a
protected.
Round in 2024.
Right. It's listed as heavily protected.
Yes.
It's like the condom of picks. It's 2024. We're in 2018. So they basically were like, Dwayne, you're not fitting, you know, he's basketball immortality, he's HOF. it's not working here. You don't fit in. We're cutting your minutes. So go back once you came and finish your career with the Heat.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of a cool gesture. So
how much of the, I mean, you got to figure.
This is unbelievable, trading.
LeBron effectively runs that team, right? If you're the Cavaliers and LeBron's going to be a free agent at the end of this year, they don't make any of these moves without LeBron's blessing.
Correct.
Because they don't want to do anything that's going to end up putting LeBron in any other city next season, right? So you got to figure LeBron had it with the configuration that they had right now.
Yeah.
And then it decided, you know, we have to change this thing up. And so I got to believe LeBron was instrumental in all of this, right?
So now I would imagine the LA Lakers with the deals that they made, you know, and I see Magic Johnson on ESPN or NBA Network middle of the afternoon yesterday, glowing and beaming about the deal that just was made.
Right.
This Isaiah Thomas was the bomb for the Boston Celtics.
Right.
I think he came into the NBA like a second round pick from, I think, Washington with like Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then he went to Phoenix. You know, he's very undersized. He's 5'8". It all clicked for him in Boston. All right. Like 28 points a game clicking. Then he had a hip injury, and it was a bad hip injury. But he was the chip needed in the Kyrie Irving deal,
right,
which sent Kyrie to Boston. So then Isaiah Thomas comes back. The Cavaliers go in the freaking tank. All right. They're offensively, they can score. But like LeBron was having the best overall season of his career. And then Isaiah Thomas comes back and stuff starts to come back to the pack.
Yeah.
They're losing to bad teams. They're trying to work Isaiah. Just, you know, I watch their games. Because I like watching LeBron's games. And the Thomas bit, it's embarrassing. It's ridiculous.
What part of his game is embarrassing?
The fact of how he's being used or he would want to be who he was, mm-hmm. but physically he's just not capable of being that. Now, everything starts and stops with LeBron.
Of course.
With Isaiah Thomas, he's a ball possession kind of guy who needs to break people down and get his own. On the Cavs, you can't do that with LeBron. On the Lakers, he'll have a better chance to do that. But Magic Johnson was beaming yesterday because through all of these flim-flams, they got a first-round pick, and they did not have one previously. And they got two expiring deals in Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye, so they have cap flexibility.
So they can go get LeBron.
So now Magic is like, this is unbelievable. I have a pick, and we're 11th or whatever in the West. We're not going to the playoffs. He didn't say that, but paraphrasing.
But they're not.
Right. So now, with LeBron and or Paul George with Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. now they have cracks at those guys. Something to keep in mind. Jimmy Butler's final year with the Wolves can be next year. I think he has a player option after that.
He does.
So it would be his ability to opt out. Jimmy Butler lives in Los Angeles. Okay, that's where he lives.
Yes.
So I mean, like, if LeBron goes to the Lakers after this year, and then like a squirrel, they save some nuts slash chips slash mm-hmm. cash,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a run at Butler the next offseason. They then would end up with LeBron, granted nearing the end of his career, but he's basically still unstoppable. LeBron, Butler, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram is a candidate for most improved player in the NBA this year.
They got that Kuzma bit.
They got this rookie from Utah at the end of the first round named Kyle Kuzma. He hits every single shot from the outside. So the demise of the Lake Show, maybe
that might be over.
Maybe greatly
so
exaggerated.
At the end of the day, what did Cleveland get out of the Kyrie trade? Because I feel like they've bungled Kyrie as one of the elite guards in the league into turning him into Larry Nance Jr.
Right.
I mean, how did they end up getting like nothing out of this deal?
Right.
When everything is said and done.
Well, they got Jay Crowder out of it, but they moved him.
Yeah.
So now they've ended up with Jordan Clarkson. Good player. Jordan's a good player. I think he's a role player, but he's
not
a good
Kyrie
player.
Irving.
Larry Nance Jr., for my money, is a 12-minute a game guy. He's offensively gifted where they've lost Kevin Love for the season, so that's a problematic spot for them.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson, for my money, is top two or three offensive rebounder in the NBA, but he can't score. So Nance can score. So I see what they're doing there. They also threw the Jay Crowder bit and all that. George Hill, formerly with Utah and the Indiana Pacers in Sacramento. George can score a little bit. Wild card for them here is Rodney Hood, who they pulled from Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
They got him from Utah. Now, Rodney can score 30 a game. So Rodney, I think, is going to bang heads with J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver, who currently are on the team. Rodney can score. He just had a foot injury that cost him like 2 or 3 weeks, and he came back, had a rough game, then he had a 30-point game. But you see, the Cavs, via elite drafting, and this is incredibly hardcore NBA, through elite drafting, they drafted something called Donovan Mitchell, who's a rookie. He's unbelievable. I mean, he's a rookie of the year candidate. He and Hood play the same spot, so Rodney was expendable.
Mm.
So off the Kyrie bit, they end up with George Hill, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, and they get rid of Isaiah Thomas.
I mean, not all that flew through the Kyrie trade.
No, not really.
I'm trying to figure out flowing through the Kyrie trade,
right,
what they ended up getting for Kyrie, because it feels like they didn't get much of anything, and I wonder if they didn't let Kyrie bully them into a bad deal.
Right.
Because Kyrie wanted to go, and that they should have.
Well, it was a bad deal.
Well, they did get bullied into a bad deal.
Yeah, they got bullied into it because they had to take Isaiah Thomas because of his contract.
Right.
With a bad hip, and he missed the first half of the season. So, yeah, they took an L.
So
yeah.
Does this make them better for this year, though?
No.
I mean, it doesn't.
No. I mean, better for right now? Yes.
Because that's what I'm looking at, because part of me feels like they're doing this as a one last cry, a one last opportunity in a very gettable East, with only really one other team right now still in the Boston Celtics and Kyrie.
Incorrect. The team to beat in the East is the Toronto Raptors.
They are, okay.
A team that destroyed Boston with Kyrie Irving 2 games ago, and that is the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. So it's a little deeper than you're making it sound.
And, okay, with all that included, though, this does make them better in terms of, oh, bleep, we only have one last time around the sun with Mr. LeBron. Let's try to get what we can get now. Because they gave up their first-round pick in the 2018 draft for all as part of all this, too.
Right.
So they're going to be a little shortchanged even into next season.
Okay, now, I've been waiting all day to ask you this. The Knicks acquisition of Emmanuel Mudiay. What do you think for Mudiay, who played in China and at Southern Methodist University?
Yes, the SMU kid.
Right. What, for Larry Brown? Why didn't it work in Denver? Any idea?
I don't have any idea. I have no clue.
It's a sports radio show.
I understand. I'm not an elite Emmanuel Mudiay mind. He was one of the guys that we were talking about drafting 2 years ago, I think when we took Chris Dunn, correct? He was one of the names that was on there in terms of a guy that could distribute the ball a little bit, shoot, not going to be the offensive superstar, but I have no idea why he has not worked out with the Nuggets.
With Toronto looking for shooting depth and acquiring Malachi Richardson from Sacramento, does anybody have any idea why Malachi Richardson just another Syracuse basketball player who was really good in college and didn't translate to the NBA like Johnny Flynn? I mean, with Carmelo, it did.
Yeah, Carmelo.
But with Malachi, it didn't.
No, it hasn't. Very unfortunate.
Doug McDermott. Yeah.
Is Twitter seems to believe that the Lakers deal for that next year, the Lakers will, to your point earlier, make a huge run at LeBron.
Correct.
But what about the other team that comes up a lot is Philadelphia with one of the best young rosters in basketball.
Yeah.
And then you add LeBron. They have tons of cap room, so they can pay him whatever they want. Then you add LeBron.
Yeah.
Would that be an intriguing lineup now?
I like Kirk Cousins with the Sixers more than I like LeBron with the LA Lakers.
I always love that one.
Speaking of the name Cousins, there's this rube named Nick Cousins for the Arizona Coyotes. So at Vox in the Box yesterday, I'm having playful exchanges with the Coyotes.
Yes.
It's a non-playoff team with the fewest points in the NHL. It's ridiculous and borderline embarrassing. Our favorite hockey team blew a 3-0 lead against that team.
Right.
Now, they also have this 19-year-old named Clayton Keller, who must have shot at the penalty box hole to win my $100
yes.
50 times. The kid wouldn't stop. And I'm on the radio, and I finally had to yell, will you please stop acting like you're 19? Oh, wait, you are 19. Can you stop shooting at the hole?
He needs the money.
It just kept going, pat, 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 pat. Come on, Clayton. Well, first of all, I'd never watched him play. I'm not an Arizona Coyote snob. But he's really good. Holy cow! Oh, these Coyotes hit on a big time talent. This Clayton Keller was skating circles around us at times last night.
All that shooting at the hole, by the way, probably helped him with the overtime dagger.
Well, there's no doubt about that. But the Coyotes have a player named Nick Cousins, And I was saying to Nordo yesterday, imagine if the Minnesota Wild made a move for Nick Cousins, and the newspaper had the headline like, Minnesota acquires Cousins.
I always love
and then
that.
The drop head is just Nick, comma, not Kirk.
Oh, God.
I'd be like, always.
That'd be great.
All right, you're the best. Be right back.
It's PA in Charge on the Fan.
Programming on the Fan brought to you in part by Papa John's. The Wild were not victorious last night. But the next time they win and they got a chance on Saturday night, you can get paid off the next day. PapaJohns.com gets you half off large and extra large pizzas with the code WILDWIN.
Nine to noon. PA and Charge.
Gang, gang, we out here.
Norm!
Once you get started.
Time for two more.
Oh, it's hard to stop. You can't stop, it just can't stop. When you get down, y'all. When you get down. Ain't no turning back, no. Everybody party, party.
The Wolves are at Chicago tonight. I think it's an 8:30 game. It's a nationally televised game. It's Jimmy.
Why is it nationally televised? Because the Butler return.
Jimmy Butler and Tibbs against the former team.
Yeah. It's big, all right.
Big stuff in the association charge.
Bulls are playing to lose, right?
I gotta believe so.
I mean, you know, they're gotta be already in tank mode, correct?
Freddie Hoiberg, though, more integrity than that.
Mm-hmm.
Since you asked, you know, the Bulls without Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen. Markkanen was the pick the Bulls used. That was part of the Jimmy Butler bit. So, like, you know, with LaVine, Zach LaVine back off an ACL.
How's he done, by the way?
Starting to play very well.
Yeah.
Hanging some 20s, hitting threes.
Yeah.
Zach looks good.
Yep.
Chris Dunn transformed his game. I mean, he was fantastic before. I think he had a concussion. And it was a bad one. He's been out for quite some time now. At least two weeks and change. And then you take the Markkanen pick, so you got Dunn, who fits, LaVine, who's explosive, and Markkanen, who they took in the top 10, and the big kid from Arizona is really good, kind of offsets, because like initially, you look at what Butler has brought to the Wolves and how he has elevated everything here. When the Bulls have their full complement, with those players, I think it was kind of a square deal, to be honest with you.
So is this the rare win-win trade?
It's kind of a win-win.
How about that?
I like the Wolf side of it because, I mean, I've been a Butler guy for years.
Sure, what's not to like? Unless he leaves in a year, like you're suggesting.
Yeah.
If that happens, it's not a win-win.
Right.
I mean, it's a win-win only if the Wolves re-up Butler, right?
Yeah.
And if they don't, then it's the Wolves are clearly on the wrong side of this deal.
So that's this evening. Butler back in Chicago should be cool. Feels like 35 for Jimmy Butler. The Wild back in action tomorrow at the X against the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, with this little Chicago bang-bang tonight and tomorrow, and the fact that the Vikings hired a new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, Mully and Hanley, an incredibly popular Chicago morning show.
Yeah.
I go on with them probably five times a year. 670 The Score. Which is a legendary channel in Chicago.
Right.
670 The Score, Mully and Hanley. So I got the text yesterday. I'm like, yeah, for sure, I'll go on. So we made a radio-related bet because those guys like horse racing, and I work in horse racing.
Yes, you do.
And those guys love horse racing. Both
I didn't
of
know
them.
That. They're big Arlington mines.
Go to the great Arlington, Hawthorne, Balmoral mines. They go to the track all the time. So we made a radio-related bet, a $100 win bet on the Kentucky Derby horse of our choice. But one of the markets has to sweep the next 2 days. So you got Butler at Bulls tonight.
Okay.
And then you have Blackhawks here tomorrow.
Oh.
I mean, did I not swindle/bamboozle those guys?
Well, I mean, the Blackhawks are Chicago, out of the playoffs right now.
For now.
Right?
Yeah. They're,
how did, you know, I'm not a great hockey mind.
There's going to be a little bit of a Blackhawks correction here.
There has to be.
All right. Their goalie, Corey Crawford, in my opinion, is a Hall of Famer. He's been out for quite some time.
All right.
Marian Hossa, you've heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Hossa, key ingredient to what they do. had some illness into the season that ended his career. So they've been without Hossa.
All right.
Then they made some trade, and they brought back former Blackhawk Patrick Sharp, who went to Dallas, then he came back, and he's like a shell of himself from what I understand. So they're working around things. They still have Kane. They still have Taves. They still have Duncan Keith.
Right.
So did I not represent the corn? Could I not have represented the cornfields in any more crafty fashion? On 670, the score this morning with Mully and Hanley.
I like it.
When I came in and beat them down, and I called them cowards.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys are doing radio in Chicago. So you're each averaging about $825 a year. And we're talking about a $100 bet. So I beat them down. I said, you're disrespecting your fan base. Those who want to believe in hashtag faith like fashion, you're giving them no hope. So finally, Brian, the Hanley part of it, was like, bleep it, I'll do it.
All okay. Right. You got one of them to take it.
Right, because it has to be a sweep.
Yes.
So let's put it this way. If the Wolves lose at Chicago this evening, it will be borderline as embarrassing as the Wild blowing a 3-0 lead to Arizona last night. I mean, the Bulls have lost like 7 to 10 consecutive home games.
Mm.
They're, when they get to their twos, it's L after L after L. I mean, without Dunn and Markkanen, they have some no names playing for that.
Well, our bench isn't great either, by the way.
That's a fair point.
But, you know, again, our starters are a lot better.
If Bielitsa and Jang are on this current version of the Bulls, they play 35 minutes each game.
Yeah, they're starters.
So that's the separator there. So now we get to, I'm going to win tonight. So then we get to the life changer, the separator tomorrow. Blackhawks at Wild. And if the Wild can win the game, I win $100, a free $100 Kentucky Derby bet from Mully and Hanley, Big Spot Chicago Radio.
So do you already know your horse?
No.
Do you already know who the Kentucky Derby favorite is going to be?
Doesn't matter. It's a free $100 bet. Yeah, and in fact, I'm going to make them make the bet for me because I have a feeling they think they're so crafty, they'll book it.
They'll book it.
And
yeah,
it'll be a 10-to-1 shot.
Yeah.
And great. For the first time in X amount of years, I actually won the Derby, and Mully and Hanley owe me a grand.
Right.
You know, good if luck it's 100 to that. Win on a 10-to-1 shot, you owe me a grand.
Radio guys always squelch on their bets. You've got to be careful about that. They wouldn't pay. That would be the problem.
All right, 9 to noon wants to close in common thread fashion with where we began. The Minnesota Vikings have a new offensive coordinator. How it ties into the quarterback situation and overall the offense, we will finish with that. We're feasting on the fan.
You're listening to PA in Charge. It's a Friday football feast, 9 to noon on the Fan.
Ain't nothing I can say.
Hey, have a seat for a second.
Nothing I can do.
9 to noon.
I feel so
PA in Charge.
Yeah.
I feel so blue.
Bobby.
I got to make it right for everyone concerned. Even if it's me, if it means it's me, what's getting
better? 18 minutes to go in the biatch. John DeFilippo, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, has been the A topic during 9 to noon today. Skirted from said topic for a segment and a half in the final hour. The podcastability of the 9 to noon radio show, if you want differing opinions on the quarterback situation here and potentially the future of the offense of the Minnesota Vikings, and you want Elite Football Mind commentary that included Ben Lieber in studio for two segments, KFAN.com, 9 to noon on demand.
Debate was great today.
Or download the free iHeartRadio app, where you get everything all the time at no charge, and you can podcast and listen back to whatever you want, whenever you want.
By the way, not to clip, but with the iHeartRadio app, which is free, fresh new feature, you can take your podcasts offline now, PA, which means when you're in a place that does not have Wi-Fi or cell range.
Whoa!
When you are on the plane and you're sitting at the gate before you go for an hour and you're wondering what songs you're going to take with you on your phone, mm-hmm. You can download all your favorite fan podcasts to your app now too.
All right, so let's mix it up with the trifecta and just empty opinions into the weekend. Then we chill. Then we come back Monday. Nordo and I do, and we get back into some things. And after I do some steamrolling this weekend, maybe I'm able to have some more. I don't want to say hard hitting, but more conclusive opinions about the future of the Minnesota Vikings football club. One thing we have glossed over during all of this conversation is the former offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, Pat Shurmur, is the head coach of the New York Giants.
Correct.
I brought this up last week multiple times at Radio Row. Shurmur filled a fair amount of his staff. However, he has left the offensive coordinator job open.
Yes.
Now, Shurmur, at his press conference two Fridays ago, said, when pressed by the negatives, I'm calling the plays. So, with Shurmur in at the Giants, it very much looks to me to be a situation like Zimmer and George Edwards here.
Right.
Where
right.
George is his right-hand man. And Mondays at 5 a.m., Zimmer into Edwards' office. They start dissecting what happened the day before and getting ahead on the next game.
Right.
George is very good at that and gets Mike squared away. Then Mike mixes the formula, comes up with the defense. That's what I think it'll be like for an offensive coordinator with Shurmur with the New York Giants.
So, which, by the way, I mean, that makes it a semi, kind of an unappealing spot for somebody who has higher aspirations because you're always going to feel like you aren't the guy that's the instrument for this offense. So let's say the Giants offense takes off and they become really good. All the credit is going to go to now head coach Pat Shurmur, who's calling all the plays. He's got an offensive background.
Right.
And
like Zimmer Edwards.
Like Zimmer Edwards.
This defense
and,
here.
And it makes it, it's going to make
nobody
it really hard to shine.
Nobody ever says Edwards' defense. He's the defensive coordinator.
Correct.
Nobody ever says it's going to be tough to get around Edwards' defense.
Exactly. And especially if you're not the play caller. Now you're really at a big disadvantage to get any recognition for what happens on that side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to make it a little bit trickier. So now if you're Kevin Stefanski, you got to decide, do I want to take all of the upgrades that go from being a position coach to offensive coordinator offensive coordinator for the Giants? Where
and Kevin's been here 12 years.
Kevin's been here 12 years, right? So he's cemented in the community. He's very much liked and respected inside the organization.
Yeah.
Do you stay here? And or do you probably quadruple your salary, go to New York City, where, by the way, cost of living, you know, the quadruple doesn't really even cut to, you know, won't be quadruple. But
no, you're right.
Anyway, do you go there and do you become an offensive coordinator knowing that you're going to be overlooked in that offense, you know, all the time? And that's going to be one of the things he'll have to judge.
Fly in proverbial ointment. And I saw this on Twitter. I'm assuming it's correct. Now, Stefanski has 1 year left on his deal here. Even though quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator is elevating yourself within a job.
For sure.
It's a promotion. From what I understand, the Vikings do not have to let Stefanski leave.
They don't.
Even for an offensive coordinator's job.
Unless it's in the contract. And
right.
We don't know the fine print, but generally,
correct.
No, they don't have to.
Yeah, which could be a touchy situation because with Shurmur not filling his offensive coordinator spot,
I
kept one eye on that through the Super Bowl because I'm like, all right, he's either waiting for somebody on the Viking staff with whom he has worked,
right,
which would be Kevin.
Yep.
Pat was the OC. Kevin, extremely well-respected, very smart. Kevin, quarterback's coach, or he's waiting for somebody with Philadelphia, New England staff.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, we're 5 days removed from the Super Bowl, and the offensive coordinator spot for the Giants is still open, which indicates to me that he's waiting for somebody here, probably Stefanski.
Right.
So this, you know, this could be tricky, because if you have somebody who's wanted to be an offensive coordinator for years, and Kevin has, and I feel comfortable saying that because of how well I know the Stefanski family.
By the way, they almost all do. I mean, you know, it's hard to find a position coach who doesn't want to be a coordinator.
So with Kevin, works his way through running backs coach, tight ends coach, quarterbacks coach, Childress's right-hand man, the whole thing. Works with Childress, Bevel, Musgrave, Norv Turner, Pat Shurmur, a lot of experience, vast knowledge. Very smart guy.
Right.
From Penn University. I mean, like, Ivy League smart. So he's on the fast track. Then Norv comes in. Norv brings son Scott, Well, son Scott is quarterback's coach. So who on the staff do you think is being groomed to be the next offensive coordinator?
Yeah, funny.
Here, there, or everywhere.
Yeah.
It ain't Kevin.
Right.
So now Kevin gets blocked. So then Norv's gone, and Scott's gone. So Kevin's back on the fast track.
Yep.
So say an opportunity emerges, like with the Giants, if the Minnesota Vikings covet and respect Kevin's coaching acumen so much that they do not permit him to take that job and they want to keep him here, I would assume a massive pay raise comes with that.
I think that would be fair.
But you know what? Yeah. If I'm Kevin, I wouldn't freak out at that. I wouldn't, because I'm not saying John DeFilippo is a cinch Sean McVay, 30-whatever-year-old head coach in the making. But it is telling that DeFilippo did get two head coaching interviews into the 2017.
It says a lot.
So, I mean, he's on the radar to become a head coach in the NFL. And he's our current offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and so, we just elevated an offensive coordinator right. to head coach.
So if I'm Stefanski, I look at it as a no-lose situation, where if you get the opportunity to go to New York to work with Shermer,
yeah.
you now have offensive coordinator on your resume. You're from Pennsylvania / Philadelphia, so you're closer to family, and you go to and you triple or quadruple your income. If it doesn't work and the Vikings think so highly of you, they don't want you to leave, which I think is a legitimate possibility.
Yeah.
You stay here. You're quarterback's coach for an incredibly well-respected offensive coordinator. And
who's your quarterback?
You get more money for it. And you have a say in the quarterback situation,
you know,
too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's part of it, right? Is,
wow.
Another X factor for Kevin Stefanski is he's got to figure out, do I want to go be offensive coordinator with Eli Manning in the very twilight of his career, or do I want to stay here with all of the potential outcomes
yeah.
at the quarterback position for the Vikings, which are, you know, this thing could go myriad ways, which is why we've had so much fun talking about it.
Right.
But it could include being able to work with Kirk Cousins.
Right.
You know, maybe that's it. You
well, know? I can take the seven stages of Filipacek
yeah.
a step farther.
All right.
My longtime friend from Eden Prairie, who was formerly offensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders.
Until recently, yes.
Todd Downing.
Yes.
Who has a year left on his deal at fat cash.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
OC
just,
cash.
He's OC cash.
Right.
OG gets OC.
Is he living in town?
No.
Did he come back?
Bay Area.
All right.
Gruden's,
so he's not one of us anymore.
Gruden's in, Downing out.
All right.
But Downing gets money.
Yes.
However, to get money and sit out a full year, from what I understand, 8 to 12% of coaches who are out for a year, they're pretty much out forever.
I know, it's hard.
Very difficult to get back in.
Yeah.
But, you know, you would have that cash grab over a year.
From well, what I, but would he necessarily give up all that cash if he takes a new job?
You don't give it up. No,
you know, double dip, right?
It offsets.
Would offset. So he would lose nothing.
So if the Buffalo Bills hire Todd Downing to be quarterback's coach for $100,000 and he's owed one point whatever, then whatever he gets comes off what Oakland has to pay.
Yeah.
So I'm working for Roto World. Fanball.com wants to hire me.
Yeah.
I got another year with Roto World, but they're like, nah, let him go. So you're going to give me $1 million. Roto World owes me $500,000. Now all of a sudden, you know, the one party owes me $500,000. Blah, blah, blah. So the seven stages of Filipacek, 7 degrees. 7 degrees of Filipacek. He and Todd Downing are very close.
Oh, going back to their time
under
Sperano in Oakland, probably.
No, Todd was not there.
In 2012, Todd wasn't there.
I have no idea where the paths
crossed.
How
they know each other,
But they're very, very close.
All right.
So 7 degrees of Filipacek.
Yep.
If Stefanski is permitted, if indeed this is a thing, and again, it's all been online, it's all been on Twitter, and I'm gravy training that.
Okay.
Current Vikings quarterbacks coach Kevin Stefanski. If he becomes Shermacek's OC and a quarterback coach job is open here with Filipacek all of a sudden here, there's a
Downing's
chance.
The guy.
Downing might be the guy.
You and I speculated on this right when he got fired a month ago.
Which for Todd,
yes.
after the miserable year he just had with Marshawn, with the Oakland Raiders, Downing gets his one point whatever.
Yeah.
Gets to come home to Minnesota.
Right.
To work with Filipacek as a quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
Stefanski gets to be an OG OC. I mean, it like all adds up. 7 degrees of Filipacek. However, if the Minnesota Vikings have as much respect in Kevin Stefanski's football acumen as I believe they do, They absolutely have the right to say, God bless you, but we can't let you go. You're too important to what we do.
Side note to that. Let's say the Vikings do that, and they block Stefanski from interviewing for that job.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, Stefanski's reputation gets enhanced, right? Because the Vikings apparently think so much of you, they won't let anybody have you.
Yeah.
That, you know, that gets to be well known.
Yeah.
And now the Vikings are trying to protect one of their best assets.
We should
and
call him McFancy, McFansky.
McFansky.
Yeah, like Sean McVay.
I like always that. Love that.
McFansky.
One.
It could end up elevating, you know, in the long run, it could end up elevating him. And he might find himself 1 year from now, Kevin would, in a situation where he doesn't have to be in this offensive coordinator spot like the Giants, where you're kind of second fiddle to a head coach who's going to run the offense and call all the plays.
Yeah.
Again, I think that could be, I'm not going to call it by any means a career killer for Kevin to go in that spot.
Yeah.
But it's just you're going to be the George Edwards and you're going to get overlooked all the time and it's going to be hard.
So if everything we're talking about is accurate, and we've seen it online, we've seen it on Twitter, and we're gravy training that. If you are in the spot of Vikings quarterbacks coach Kevin Stefanski, which situation would you prefer? And I don't know what he makes here, but he would make more money as an offensive coordinator, even as the John Oates to Shurmur with Daryl Hall.
Yeah.
So, but he would make more money, even if he gets, in my opinion, than even if he gets a raise here as quarterbacks coach with the Vikings being like, can't let you go, love you, respect you too much, big things on the horizon for you, and we want to bump your pay.
Yeah.
But I can't see it being tripled or quadrupled to offensive coordinator money.
Might get doubled.
So what? So which situation is more palpable for Church of Charge?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to keep him because he's a great asset, and I want to see all the best minds inside Winter Park as often as we can. So that's, I mean, ideally I'd like to keep him, but I don't know that that's going to be, it's awfully hard to turn down offensive coordinator job with a guy like Pat Shurmur, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that too. Pat's a great guy. I mean, find somebody who doesn't have anything good to say about Pat Shurmur.
Right.
Right? So you know that it's going to be a comfortable fit with a guy that you probably like working with and already have a relationship with. It's going to feel very safe for Kevin. You're not rolling the dice on joining somebody that you don't already have an intimate working relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be a big X factor, too. And I think that might be part of the, you know, part of the draw as well, is that will feel very comfortable.
You like fried chicken?
Yeah, my very first job, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
You like
15, 16 years old.
You like steak sandwiches?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because if you bite into the steak sandwich.
Well, do you like steak sandwiches from Manny's?
Yeah, God, yes.
Okay.
They have a great steak sandwich.
Do you like the Minnesota Vikings?
I do.
Okay. Well, we have do you like newness? Do you like enterprising endeavors? Of course you do. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And this is absolutely.
I just found out next Friday.
Yes.
Next Friday, we are doing the radio show at the new facility in Eagan, catered by Manny's and Revival Fried Chicken.
And I won't be here.
What do you mean you won't be here?
Oh, my God. You're killing me right
now. No, of course you're going to be here.
No.
It's the TCO Performance Studios. We get to see our spot. Manny's and Revival Fried Chicken are going to cater it.
Oh, God, and they're so good.
And of course you're going to. It's a feast.
Whiskey Weekend is the highlight of my year, Paul.
That's special.
It's eight guys, eight bottles of whiskey in a blind taste test in a remote cabin in the middle of central Minnesota. No girls, no phones, just guys being guys for a long weekend. It's the highlight of my year in many ways. What do you mean, why? Are you so far removed from what it means to be a man that you can't?
I am a man. Damn it, I waxed my eyebrows.
Yeah, well, that is not the
case. I just went to Vegas with two men.
Yes. Well, you shared a bed.
No, we didn't share a bed, but I was able to jettison my masculine femininity for 5 days, and I had a great time.
I'm glad you did.
Rural Minnesota with eight, quote, dudes, end quote, and eight bottles of whiskey. Come on. What?
No,
you need some women.
No, we don't.
You need women in cars.
I got women for the other 300, 60 days of our
brilliant
year. Yes.
Brilliant.
This is as good as it gets, and I will not be here.
John DeFilippo, and by the way, we are not really doing the show at the TCO Performance Studios. No Manny's, no Revival Fried Chicken for now. That was just a tease charge. In closing, new Vikings offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, 39 years of age, quarterbacks coach for the Champion Eagles. Offensive coordinator, San Jose State, 2011, and Charge's favorite team, the Cleveland Browns, in 2015. Was a quarterback's coach for the Jets, Raiders, and Eagles. Worked with current Vikings offensive line coach Tony Sparano in Oakland. Worked with Sam Bradford up to the 2016 season in Philadelphia. Then Sam was traded to the Minnesota Vikings. So plenty to answer. We'll start getting more into it next week. What kind of offense will he run? Which quarterback does he like most and why? How will he use Dalvin? Do the Vikings need to overpay McKinnon for a sweet three running back bit? Do we need another receiver? Do we need a guard and a right tackle? Do we trust Mike Remmers at guard? Why can't Teddy Bridgewater be better than Case Keenum? Might bring that up next week. Teddy, by the way, played more playoff games than Case Keenum had into this year in just a truncated amount of time.
Well, 1-2-0.
See, your approach to the quarterback situation, the fantasy football approach, it's the easiest approach.
No.
It's very easy to look at one guy and say, well, look at this. Plays all the games, 4,000 passing yards. Give him the highest, the biggest deal in the history of the NFL. When you take the approach I'm taking, which is very calculated, it involves elite football mind acumen to weave through every scenario and not just look at one guy and say, that's it, conversation over.
Looking at all the scenarios here.
Kirk Cousins
is the best one of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
also the richest one.
Well, yeah, he's the most expensive one.
Right.
Time to push your chips in on an already proven quarterback who's under the age of 30. And that is, it's clearly the best path. It's
my man. Close.
PA and Charge.
Enjoy Whiskey Weekend.
I will. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Paul Charchi and Fanball.com. And I'm Paul Allen, back with you Monday. Here's the producer to put a wrap on the show.
Thanks to the Paddy Wagon, 61st and Nicollet. The Paddy Wagon.
I will. Thank you.
White smoke from the Vatican signals a decision has been made. A new offensive guru for the purple has been paid. John DeFilippo, his friends call him Flip. Will he be stoic and calculated or shoot from the hip? We'll see. It's the battle of number eights. Bradford or Cousins has sparked a massive debate. PA in charge, feverishly buying and selling takes. On the trading floor, like the Dow Jones, it's high stakes. So, charge with a classic smirk. Only Gene Roddenberry has more love for Captain Kirk. But what about Sammy Sleeves if the knee is steady? And what about the kid Teddy in off-season to be ready?
Get out of my face with that crazy stuff.
Be gone. You can put it on the board.
Hold on to your butts.
No way!
Keeping your head above water.
9 to noon. Football feast.
Temporary layoffs.
Good times.
Easy credit rules.
Good times.
When you're hot, you're hot.
And somebody.
The game is over.
Hanging in a jar.
Good times.
PA and Charge.
Ain't we lucky we got them?
If it's good news or money, leave a message.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Paul Allen Channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.